Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, beer drinkers.
Get ready for an all-new experience in information exchange and beer culture.
Your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers from around the globe
right to your home.
You're not just listening to broadcasters. It's the Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Brewcast, everybody. My name's Justin Crossley, and I'm your host. You can also call me Brewcaster J. Your host is also Brewcaster D. Daniela here with us today.
Good evening.
As usual. Of course, your other host is Dr. Scott, the undeniable, unchallenged.
I'm challenged.
Dr. Scott.
How you doing?
And JP hanging out with us today, who, by the way, JP, in our newsletter,
yes,
I, for the first time, have officially dubbed you Brewcaster JP.
Wow.
How about that, huh?
Moving up.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're a Brewcaster.
Is that a unilateral decision?
Thank you very much.
It wasn't.
Are you on the board now?
Yeah.
I was not consulted.
Really, I just needed content for the newsletter.
Yeah, so that one word.
So I figured if I threw in Brewcaster JP, it would work. Welcome to the show, everybody. We have a fantastic show planned for you today. I'm excited about it. I'll tell you guys, I haven't been excited about radio like I am today in a long time.
Really?
You and I don't
excited.
Know why. But I'm just real stoked to be here, and we've got great guests and a great show lined up. We're doing some good things for people today. I had a good time on the FM show with a band, Cold Hot Crash.
I got to listen to a little of that.
Did you listen to their live set there?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, for those of you who missed it, fear not, because they're coming on tonight's show, too.
Oh, really? I was wondering about that.
Nice. Cool.
They're going to be here later on in the show, and they're going to do a live set for us. For those of you who don't know who Cold Hot Crash is, if you've ever wondered who the band is that I play sort of often on the breaks, and for you podcasters, a lot of times I forget to mention who the band is. It's usually Cold Hot Crash, and people have had a really great response to them, so I asked them to come and do this show with us, too.
That's cool.
I was wondering if you're going to have them come over for that.
Yeah, they're going to come in and drink some beer and play some music for us a little later in the show, and I'm excited about that. And then also, we've got the editor of one of my favorite brew magazines, Brew Your Own Magazine, Chris Colby, is with us today.
Good.
And not only are we going to talk about the magazine, which I think is cool, we've never done a show with another sort of entity like we do,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's all about giving out the beer information and stuff. So it's cool. I'm excited about having Chris Colby on here. Not only are we going to talk about the magazine, but I guess the guy's really good, and this is perfect timing. The guy's really good at making sour beers at home. And it's weird that he told me that as I was booking the show, because after last week's show, I was picking Doc's brain about, Doc, you got to tell me how I can brew sour beers at home. So it's perfect timing. As we've been talking about these sour beers and everyone seems to be getting into them, Chris Colby's going to help us learn how to brew them at home. And, of course, so is Dr. Scott.
It's awesome when you can have somebody, you know, give you that kind of information firsthand. I mean, you can read, and a lot of it's dated material. And, you know, when you got somebody that's made a lot of it, screwed up some of it. There's a lot of things that go along into making it along the way. It's not where you just brew one day and you have beer at the end.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of stuff in between because it's a long brewing process until it's done.
I was actually going to brew this weekend, but I didn't get around to it. But I was going to make a sour beer.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I'm kind of glad that I didn't get around to it, so I can do it next weekend and actually, you know, not have my thumb too far up my crevasse.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting one started here pretty soon, so maybe, you know, end of the summer, maybe have something nice.
Yeah.
To me, sour beers are the queen of beers.
See, people are getting angry with you being a German,
I know,
liking all these sour beers.
We don't do sour beers as Germans, but what can
For
I do?
For Lutterweiss, right? Isn't that...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a mixed drink, though.
No,
a mixed drink is Red Bull and vodka. That's not a, you know, come on.
It's a blended beer.
It's a blended beer, yes. Yeah.
But so are the lambics and the sour beers.
Well, but you see, you do Berliner Weisse only in one specific region in Germany. Sour beers are not big there.
Yeah.
But to me, they're the best beers.
Wow.
I love them.
Opened up a whole new avenue for you.
Yeah.
I'm addicted.
They are. They're really good. In fact, one of our forum users sent me an email, I think, or made a post or something, and he basically said, "Welcome to the second largest addiction in beer." And homebrewing in general is the first one, and sour beers are the second one. And I can see that. I mentioned it during last week's show that I actually find myself craving them. Like I do heroin. It's the same kind of a thing.
You know, you just can't wait for that next fix.
Yeah, I really do. So we're going to be tasting some on the air today,
too.
About
the same amount of money,
too. And we'll talk about that later. Get your questions ready. You can join Daniela in the chat room and ask all the questions that you want. Also, you can call us at 888-401-BEER, or you can Skype us. Our Skype name is Brewing Network. And you can get all your questions answered that way. So we're going to get into everything. Lest you think you're in the wrong place and you're a new listener, you're in the right place. This week is the last week that we're going to register people to win a Conical in the Brewing Network's Conical Christmas, courtesy of Beer, Beer, and More Beer and HCA Industries. It's the last chance to get registered.
Last.
Tonight.
None more.
Yeah. Now, you podcasters, you're going to have a few extra days, so don't worry about that. If you're listening to this archive, we're going to tell you here in the middle of the show how you, too, are going to register. But this episode is your last chance, and on next Sunday's show, we're going to have our big holiday party on the air, and we're going to be giving away two Conical fermenters, courtesy of Beer, Beer, and More Beer.
Count them.
And HCA Industries, that's right.
Stainless.
That's right.
Stainless.
You've heard the promos. You know what they're like. They're great. So hang in there. We're going to tell you how you can do it. In fact, I'm going to tell you here in just a minute. So, a great show planned for you, but I do have to get serious on you for a second. And I mean it. There's something important going on in brewing that we want to talk about, and JP actually first brought it to my attention, and we weren't sure what we could do to help, and we've come up with a way that we think we can really help people help out in this matter. And I want to talk to you folks at home. We're going to have to band together on this kind of thing. And JP and I are going to work on some other things to help it along. And you'll hear more about that on next week's show. But what I want to talk about is there's a woman by the name of Linda Stark. And Linda Stark has worked in the beer industry, and particularly with the Brewers Association, for years. And she was primarily the liaison to brewers in organizing festivals, in setting up them, getting there and advertising and getting the festivals organized. So if you look at it that way, she's directly related to you as a beer lover. When we talk about it a lot here on the show, is when we go to these beer festivals that the BA puts on. Obviously the GABF is one of the big ones. The National Homebrew Competition, mm-hmm. that's another one, conference. And she's always had an integral part in bringing the brewers and putting things together and making these things happen. Well, she's also been battling lung cancer for a little over a year now. And she went through chemotherapy for just under a year. Just your regular, you go in, you know, they find out that you have cancer, and they start you automatically on chemotherapy. And after she finished it, after almost a year of that, you go in for your checkup. And by the way, I've been through this. I've told you this story about my very good friend who passed away leukemia, and the same thing. She went through the whole the chemo treatment, and then you think everything's done, and the doctors tell you it's gone, but you got to go back and get your checkup. And when Linda went back, she found out that the cancer it hadn't gone after all, and it came back, and the doctors pretty much told her there's nothing we can do. You know, we did the chemo, and that's what we do here in the U.S., and there's not much we can tell you. So Linda and her family, I imagine, took it upon themselves to look for alternative treatments, and they did find one. They found one in Germany, which is close to home for us, of course. Yeah. They found it in Cologne, Germany, and it's a three-part treatment. It's experimental here in the U.S., but they've been having great results with her type of cancer over in Germany. And she wants to undergo that treatment, and in fact, she's already started to have those. I think she's had one of the three treatments. The problem here is, and this is where we come in, and this is why I'm telling you this story. The problem is that Linda's insurance, and anybody's insurance for that matter, just so you know, if this ever, God forbid, happens to others, insurance companies won't cover experimental treatments. Even if they're showing strong results in other countries, like Germany, insurance companies, they just won't cover it if it's not a proven treatment.
That's one of their clauses, usually. They just want to get out of pain. So yeah. It's one of their clauses. Anything experimental,
they won't do.
Nope. Even in dentistry.
Yeah. All right, so same thing, yeah. Whatever the treatment is. So let me give you some numbers. Linda has decided to get these treatments one way or another in Germany. She's already gone for the first, like I said. And there's three treatments. And they're $15,000 a piece. Every time she goes, it's $15,000 to get one of these treatments. And it seems to me that any time you get to a point where, you know, somebody tells you there's nothing that they can do, and you find another way, you know, something that you can do, that you should do whatever you can to make it happen.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times you need help to do that. And a lot of the people at the Brewers Association are, and Linda's from Colorado, they're doing fundraisers and things like that and trying to raise awareness mm-hmm. and money for Linda because, I think everybody knows that working in beer doesn't make you rich. You do it because you love it. You know, you love beer and there's not a lot of money involved and, needless to say, Linda isn't rich. So we're gonna do a fundraiser for Linda Stark and we want you guys to participate too. And I'm not trying to give a big downer here. In fact, I think this is a very positive thing.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. everybody talks about the community of beer and homebrewing and how much everybody's involved in trying to help each other out. And I think we ought to go ahead and practice what we preach and go ahead and come together as a community here. So we've got a couple of things in place where we can help do this. Now, we're going to accept donations today through our website on the donate button right on thebrewingnetwork.com during today's live show for Linda. And for our part, and we're going to do some more next week that I'll let you guys know. We just have to get everything together. For our part, every penny that you donate will go directly to Linda. Now, when you donate via PayPal, I know you guys are thinking, you know, if you donate $50, PayPal takes a little bit of money out, and that's true, and it works the same with our donate button. But the Brewing Network is going to cover everything that that PayPal takes out. So if you donate $50 or whatever it is that you donate, if you donate $5 today for Linda, $5, we're going to write a check for $5 to Linda Stark, and we're going to do that. Now, as an incentive, as if you need one, there's a couple of things that we're going to do. For every $20 donation that we get during today's show, and we'll check it out and confirm that we've gotten it, and you don't have to worry about that. It's easy to see who donated. For every $20 donation we get during today's show, we're going to send you a prize. And Beer, Beer, and More Beer is helping us out with that, too, to make sure that we have enough to give everybody. But we got a lot of T-shirts, and I got some American Brew DVDs here, and we got a hat from Beach Chalet, for example. And I don't have a conical to give a prize. But
Scott's conical.
For every $20 today, we're going to give you a prize.
That's awesome.
Now, I know it's the holiday season and money's tight, and believe me, it's tight for everybody, us included. So not everybody can donate $20, and that's okay, because we're also going to do something else. As you know, we've been registering 2 live listeners per week for the Conical giveaway, and then 1 podcaster. Well, as one of the registrations today, one way to register, if you donate any amount, I don't care what it is, if it's a dollar, all right, if you donate any amount today, during the show, we're going to put your name in a hat, and we're just going to do a drawing.
Oh, nice.
So any donation gets you in the drawing, and we'll pick one name as a registrant for today for the Conical. So it's a piece of cake.
That's great.
If you got a dollar, awesome. If you got $2, whatever you got, hit the donate button. It's right on our homepage, thebrewingnetwork.com, and we'll put your name in that hat, and then at the end of the show, like we always do, you know, when we're announcing who's registered for today, we'll draw a name out of there, and it's just an extra chance for you to register for the Conical. So we're going to do that for you. And we'll also have another giveaway, because like we said, we register two people. Mm-hmm. And we'll do a fun one later on. We're gonna, we got a good game for, you know, planned for you guys, too, to register for the Conical. So that's the important stuff, guys. I really wanted to talk to you about that, because I think it's important that we come together and we help each other out. It's $15,000 for every treatment she gets.
You're absolutely right about the community thing. I mean, Linda has been involved in on both sides of the home brewing and the commercial brewing for years and years and years. And she is responsible for a lot of the stuff, a lot of the rise in home brewing. Maybe not in the, you know, go out there and beat the streets kind of way that, you know, Papazian is or whatever, but,
behind the scenes.
Yeah, behind the scenes. Everyone needs a good foundation behind them, and she is the rock of that place, and they miss her a lot, and she's great. I had the opportunity to work with her for a lot of years, she's a great person. Yeah. Loves beer, loves home brewing, and
highly involved.
Yeah, exactly. And this is great, and I hope we can really help her out.
Well, you want to raise something, and anything helps. Obviously, I know that, you know, some of you guys have been in situations that even if it's a daunting amount of cash, man, anything helps. And so that's what we're going to try to do here today, and we're going to do it next week too. We got a whole other thing planned for you next week, so we really want you guys to jump in here. If you want more information about Linda and what's going on, a great place to do it is on Jay Brooks Beer Blog, and it's Brookston.org/beer. Or if you go to our blog, right on our homepage, there's a Brewcaster blog button. Click that, and he's linked right to our blog. So if you've already got that in your favorites or something, you'll find it. And he's got a picture of Linda on the page, and he's updating us about what's happening. So you can find out where she is in the progress of the treatment and how things are going, whether she's in Germany or whether she's back home in Denver. And you can find out all that through that. So I encourage you to, you know, if you want more information, you can find it there.
Our sponsor, H2, Brian, H2 in the chat room, Brian, in real world, is coming through too. He just offered he's going to match anything up to $500 tonight that we raise. So if we raise a total of $500, he's going to chime in with another $500.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's fantastic. All right. So there you go, guys. There's a little goal for you. If you donate $20 at a time, not only are you going to get a prize, but H2 from HCA Industries there is going to match it up to $500. Yeah. Bucks, and that's a cool thing to do. And every little bit's going to help. And I think we've got a matching thing, hopefully for next week too, so that really it's kind of stretching your bucks, you know? A little two for one action.
Yeah. You know? Get a prize, she gets a prize, right?
That's right. So like I said, it's important that we actually follow through on what we preach all the time, and that's that we're a community. So let's help out a community member that's done plenty of help for you by putting these festivals together and getting good beer there and that whole bit. Okay? So please help us out. I'll be doing an announcement later on in the show, just as a reminder that it's one way to register for the Conical today.
Let me just say the reactions in the chat room so far have been overwhelming. One of our listeners, Rich, he just donated $100.
Fantastic.
Wow.
People donating $20, $5, people really
helps.
Wanting to come
it's
through.
All
Every single dollar that you can spare helps.
That's
because
right.
It's a dollar closer to the final goal.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And anything you can spare, you can do it.
And it'll get you in the bucket for a Conical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The $20 ones goes in, the dollar ones goes in, everybody goes in.
You can get a t-shirt and a Conical maybe. You never know.
Yeah, that's right.
The odds may work out that way.
The odds are great.
Yes.
So, and thank you to everybody, you know, just for listening and letting us do that for Linda. And we're going to keep you up to date about the whole thing. And we're going to do something again next week. Okay? So, in lieu of our normal feedback segment, that's what we did. So, there's no feedback today. Doc, I'm sorry I don't get to play the theme song for you.
Damn.
Instead, we're going to move right to Daniela's World Vigorously, which, listen, I don't care what's going on. We couldn't do without. So,
we can do without my theme song, but
but not without Daniela's World Vigorously. So let's find out what's happening in Daniela's world and have ourselves a nice show.
Well, I've been researching stupid laws all week long, and I was amazed by the amount of laws that there are out there that are stupid. You could do an entire network about stupid laws.
It could be
the stupidlaws.com network. Radio show program
with JP.
You should be in marketing.
They don't have one already?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I am in marketing, see?
There you go. But you don't like lawns? Is it you like grass? You have a thing about grass?
No.
Never mind. Okay, go ahead.
I don't get it either.
I heard lawns.
Can we mute him?
Go. Yes, I'll consider him muted.
Thank you.
Okay.
So anyways, there is stupid laws all over the place. For example, in Thailand, it is illegal to leave your house if you are not wearing underwear.
Really? How would they know?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how they check on people if they wear underwear, but how? What do you do as a girl if you wear white pants? You cannot wear underwear. It's impossible.
And how
you
know, cool
every,
is
every
it?
Every time I see a girl with white pants now, that's what I'm going
to
be thinking.
And how cool is it that to be the guy who gets to check if they're wearing
the panty checker?
Yeah, that's his job. Yeah.
Like, don't tell Britney Spears to go to Thailand.
Yeah. Need a search warrant?
What do? I check panties.
Okay. I find it amazing. I couldn't do it living there. Switzerland, our friends there in the Alps, they have a bunch of very weird laws. For example, clothes may not be hung to dry on Sundays for whatever reason.
Really?
You may not wash your car on Sundays. And that's like one of the biggest car wash days here in the United States,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's what we do. We read the Bible when we're washing our cars.
And now, this one really disgusts me. It is illegal to flush the toilet after 10 p.m.
What?
Yes.
So so the old, if it's brown, let it drown, doesn't apply after 10 o'clock?
Apparently, it's illegal. You might be fined if you do it.
You got to let your poo mellow?
No,
yes.
If the yellow gets to mellow and the brown gets
let it
flushed
drown.
Down.
Again, how do they know?
How do they know?
You can smell that one. Everybody knows that.
Oh, man. You're
if your house doesn't smell, you've broken the law.
You flushed.
Oh.
And a man may not relieve himself while standing up after 10 p.m. So you guys sit after 10 p.m., but you may not flush.
I tend to sit down after 10 p.m. anyway, so I'm okay with that.
I sit down in the morning. My kids call it morning position because I'm just too tired to aim.
Doc does the sit pee. I'll do the sit
and
pee.
And kids know about it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're sitting down. Yeah, I just pee.
Just having a but mommy does that.
All right, that's morning position. I'm too tired.
In the morning, do you guys switch? Does she stand up and you sit down?
Yeah.
No.
See, I'll only do the sit down in the middle of the night because if you turn on the lights, it hurts your eyes
right.
And every, you know, you got to adjust to the light. Yeah.
I have night lights in my bathroom.
By the stage of our state of our restroom in the mornings, I doubt that, Justin.
No, that's because I don't do the morning position. I do the night position.
I understand. Yeah. In the United Kingdom, it is illegal to be drunk on licensed premises, any bars or pubs. You cannot be drunk there. What's
you
that
can't, you
all
can't
about?
Be drunk where you get drunk?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Not where you're drinking. Don't get drunk where you drink.
And then this one in the United Kingdom. It is illegal for two adult men to have sex in the same house as a third person.
Well, that's a wordy law.
Yeah, that's a standard.
Whatever that means.
In Italy.
It's a standard. It's in every constitution,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
If there's a third person?
Yeah. That's just weird. If there's a third person. Well, because it's impolite.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to force yourself upon someone.
I mean, it's just rude.
But a third person just has to be in the house. Doesn't even have to be in the same room.
Well, it's
well,
rude.
So wait. Two girls and a guy is cool, but not,
but not
two guys,
guys
and a girl.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or not three guys.
That's what the law says in the United Kingdom.
It didn't say anything about three guys.
It didn't say no. That's fine, apparently.
Leave it to Doc to figure that one out, too.
What's great about if you think about these laws is you try to imagine the lawmakers sitting around in their room when they were doing it, and they're like, yeah!
Yeah, we
you're
need that
right.
Law.
I don't want them doing that while I'm in the house.
Yeah.
Make it a law.
Exactly.
You know? No standing up after 10.
Yeah, what's going on that they need this law?
And it was like a consensus of a bunch of idiots, you know?
I don't know. I can't sleep. Well, why not? Well, Dave and Alex were hitting it last night, and I can't focus anymore. We need a law.
Okay. I'm with you.
Done.
Oh, probably the guy who was making the law had a gay son, and
His
son moved back in. He just did not want that gone, so he made a law.
That could have been it. It's true. Doc's got good logic.
He does. Cases. Yeah, he should be a lawmaker. Yeah. In Italy, any man who wears a skirt must be arrested.
There you go.
Which explains to me why the Vatican is neutral in that matter and doesn't belong to Italy anymore, because those guys there, like the Pope and all them, they wear skirts all day.
Yeah, well, that's a dress.
They wear
though.
A dress.
They're different.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's
is that what a utility kilt?
Yeah, that's why there's not a whole lot of Scottish in Italy, I
not
think.
Not too many there.
Scottish.
You got any beer laws in there?
No, I don't think so.
Because who needs to make weird laws about beer?
Yeah.
Those all exist in the U.S., actually.
Yeah, I say the eastern states have all that.
Yeah.
So.
In Australia, it is illegal to wear hot pink pants after midday Sunday.
That's why Oz hangs out at home all day. Yeah.
That's obvious.
Yeah.
In China, you must be by law intelligent to go to college, which is basically a good idea.
I like that law. You should actually have to be intelligent to speak. I think that'd be a good law.
Right.
I guess our show would go off
the air. Well, don't they just drown them?
They just drown their unintelligent?
Yeah.
Yeah. If, hey, if they can't swim, really? They can't figure it on their own, then they don't deserve to live,
they're
right?
They're too stupid to live. If you can't figure out how to tread water.
In France, you must not name your pig Napoleon.
Of course.
That
makes
a lot
of
sense.
It's frowned upon.
I mean, some of these are so obvious, I don't know why they created a law.
And that's the thing, actually. Some of those things are just so self-explanatory. They're common sense. Why would you need a law for that?
Right.
And some others
are just
outrageous. Now, of course, the country with the insane amount of weird laws is the United States and all the different states here. In Connecticut, for example, in order for a pickle to officially be considered a pickle, it must bounce.
And you just throw it against something and see if it bounces?
I don't know.
I like that's my home state, by the way, folks. Proud to say.
Pickle bouncers, all the lot of
you're all pickle bouncers.
The state of the bouncing pickle.
Is it on your license plate?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet his pickle don't bounce.
Yeah, it's like it's a man law.
Yeah,
there you go.
Hey, I bet his pickle don't bounce.
Yeah.
And I bet he wears hot pink after noon on Sunday.
But not hot blue. Hot blue's okay.
What else you got?
Electric blue.
If you tie an elephant to a parking meter in Florida, the parking fee has to pay just like if it was a vehicle. You got a ticket on your elephant.
Where do you stick that on the tusk?
Somebody tied their elephant to a meter to get that law.
All of these had to have happened for people just to pass these laws.
But it had to happen enough to where they actually thought.
Yeah, it happened often.
Yes.
No, I can park it here. No, you can't.
Yeah.
You but move this.
I saw those other three guys parking their elephants. I can do it, too.
And now this one makes me feel really bad for our friends in Florida. When having sex, only the missionary position is legal.
Yeah.
That's just terrible.
Crotch, I'm sorry, dude.
Outside the law.
Crotch rot, sorry.
And you must not fart in public place after 6 p.m.
Crotch, I'm sorry, but
why after 6?
I myself have violated that law several times
in Florida
over the summer, yes.
Also in Florida, it's considered an offense to shower naked.
What are you showering?
That is one
then?
I have not committed in Florida.
Yeah, not in Florida.
You're good on that one.
Yeah, I'm good.
What does it say you're supposed to do?
Nothing.
Just wear
not naked.
The washcloth needs to be handy.
And then also, you are not allowed to break more than 3 dishes per day or chip the edges of more than 4 cups and/or saucers a day.
Well, that makes sense.
Can you mix and match? I broke 2 sausages and a plate.
Yeah,
add that up.
Yeah, you're still good.
And you must not kiss your wife's breast.
Really?
Yes. So only missionary and never kiss the titties.
Well, he didn't say anything about, like,
why I hate Florida.
They didn't say anything about not cutting or grabbing or punching, though, so yeah, I think we're all okay.
Yeah.
In Georgia,
are you sure these are real laws?
These are real laws. I don't know to what extent they're still being enforced and if you could go to court for them.
Well, you found them online.
I found them online. And the internet never lies.
Yeah.
We all know that. In Georgia, no one may carry an ice cream cone in their back pocket if it's Sunday.
You know, or ever. You idiot.
Let's just make that forever.
Yeah.
In Arizona, donkeys cannot sleep in bathtubs. And also hunting camels is prohibited.
Like the camels are hunters or that the camels are being hunted?
Camels must not be hunted.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And you also...
When is the season start for a camel?
It must be a hunting camel.
And in Arizona, you may only have 2 dildos in one home.
Sounds like a camel.
Be very, very quiet.
Yeah.
2 dildos in one hole? Is that what you said?
In one home.
Oh, home. Okay.
Oh, my God.
There's another logical
that needs
one.
To be censored.
Yeah. I'll bleep that.
In California, and that just shows how superficial our state is, the sunshine is guaranteed to the masses.
Hey, I like that law.
What does it mean?
Do you think anybody...
Hey, you can't have any sunlight, but it's guaranteed.
Do you think anybody told, you know, the hemisphere? Anybody told, like, the cloud formation that we're entitled to our sun? Because it's raining today.
Can we sue the state?
For violating our right to sunshine?
Yeah.
You might be on a thing here, JP. Yeah.
Next time I'm in solitary lockdown, I'm going to pull that one.
Yeah.
I'm entitled to my sun.
I appreciate the law in Mississippi. A man may may not seduce a woman by lying and claiming he will marry her. I think that's important.
I promise I love you, and I will marry you.
And I will never die.
I will never die. I will never go to Mississippi.
There's a lot of people not getting laid in Mississippi.
Because if I went there, I would never get any.
In Nebraska, here's a beer one. It is illegal for bar owners to sell beer unless they are simultaneously brewing a kettle of soup.
Yes, I've heard this one.
Really?
Yes.
What is that?
Yes, I've heard that one.
They don't have to serve the soup or anything. They just have to be brewing
in
it.
In fact, I think, Justin, you even spoke that one.
Did I?
Yeah, it was one of the early shows.
I might have.
Yes. Sounds very, yeah.
All right. Anything else in Daniela's world?
I think that's about it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now you know all of the stupid things around the world, or at least in our country.
That's true. In Connecticut.
Thank you, Daniela. Oh, leck um und Zaun, jeder Vogel hat ein Zwölferhau, jeder nimmt sich Zaun. What would we do without German music? I do not know.
Neither do I. It would be a sad, sad world.
All right, everybody. You are tuned into the right place. It's a beer show, after all. And when we come back, we're going to get Chris Colby from Brew Your Own Magazine on the line with us. And he's going to help us learn all about the magazine and then learn how to brew sour beers at home. And I'm looking forward to that. We've also got the band Cold Hot Crash coming in with us later. Plus, your chance to register to win a Conoco courtesy of Beer Beer and More Beer and HC Industries. Hang in there, because we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. Coming this Christmas, it began life in the very bowels of the earth. A ferrous chromium alloy melted in an electric furnace at temperatures exceeding 1300 degrees Celsius. It has nearly 80 millimeters of sanitary welds, tensile strength 579 megapascals, a milliliter capacity of more than 46,000. Its lid seals with a superhuman ethylene propylene dyeing monomer gasket. Its racking arm rotating. Its dump valve full port. Yeast and tube collect down a slope of precisely 60 degrees. Standing more than 30 American inches tall, it's the Brewing Network's Conical Christmas Giveaway, sponsored by Beer, Beer, and More Beer at morebeer.com and HCA Industries at hcaind.com. Listen now through December 10th for your chance to register to win one of two B3 Conical fermenters on the Brewing Network.
I'm on. Thank God, not a moment too soon.
There's no one in the room, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's a really hard line.
You wrote it.
What's with the Abacast dream? God damn it. Oh, these are really hard. I'm just going to have to do this a bunch of times. Who wrote this shit? You know what? Go ahead and start me over. And just trash that whole tape.
Hit that fucking whirlpool, vigorously. Holy shit.
I need some air.
Damn, my yeast will not proof in my... Blah, 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 blah.
Oh my God, I'm so white.
Okay.
Proof and fucking boobs being rude and my kid pulled the leg out to say that a whole lot faster. This whole chat room I want out, Justin. Shit, that's a lot of words. 50G, why don't you push eject me? I'm screaming Gucci when D pushes me off the screen.
Ow.
I'm screaming Gucci when D pushes me off the screen. Jum, blah, blah. That's the end of that.
Then we're off into the pseudo chorus.
I just got booted out of the chat room.
I was so in the groove on the last one. That was crap.
Holy shit, I just got booted out of the fucking chat room.
Did you have to laugh?
Sweet shit that likes my Banero big. Damn, but you still not proof and I'm out of air.
Bulldog's little boys in my ear screaming, I realize that I'm missing two whole bars of lyrics. Damn, play useful, not proof, and fucking boobs being rude, my kid. That one's impossible. Think I can't think, but then I hear Doc's little voice in my ear. This is where it just goes, falls apart. I don't know how this worked in my head. Motherfucker, drink!
Drink! Aw, oh, man, that always kind of irked me.
That part's easy. It's how do I fit all that other crap in there? Alright, that's probably good enough for now. Oh, that's funny. Is that you? Oh, that's me.
Shit.
I'm throwing down an angry rap song. Oh, what time is it? Probably within the next 20 minutes. I love you, sweetie. Okay, running out of time. That's the gay version.
Okay, don't even think about putting that on there.
This is just pathetic, isn't it?
Look at the two jerk-offs.
Bet I don't have, like, a good ripping fart right now or something. Wait.
I'm actually touching cloth.
Doc's little voice in my head screaming! Are you doing that funny, man? Kill JP.
It really sounds like I'm on the pod, doesn't it? I think it does.
Oh, this is the Sven. Take a crap.
I'm out.
The Brewcaster.
The Brewcaster.
On the Brewing Network.
If you think that's rock and roll, wait till we get Cold Hot Crash in here later on in the show. They're going to be doing a live performance toward the end, but not before we get through Chris Colby, who I'm going to be getting on the line here in just a couple minutes, and we're going to be talking about Brew Your Own Magazine and also how to brew sour beers. But even before that, we've got our good friend Sean O'Sullivan on the line, who hasn't been on the show in a couple weeks, and we miss him. So, Sean, how are you?
How you doing, my friend?
We're doing real well. And where are you?
I am sitting on a 737 in Portland, Oregon, about ready to fly back to Oakland.
Is that right?
As you know, I was under the effects of pneumonia, and I decided to celebrate it by flying to Portland and going to 14 breweries and tap bars around the city.
Hey, that's the best cure I can think of.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Funny, because actually O'Sullivan called me yesterday, and... And this is what the conversation sounded like. Hey, Sean, where are you?
I'm in a bar in Oregon.
And he's choking in between every word.
No, I was down for the count. I lost a lot of weight, which Stephanie, of course, appreciated. And
yeah.
Nice.
But we're starting to sell our beer up here at the 21st Amendment at 563 2nd Street, www.218.com. Anyway.
Yes. Thank you.
So we came up here and we just kind of bopped around. Motor was up here, and Steve, my old assistant, and we just went around a couple of different places that were serving our beers, and it was a lot of fun, actually.
So for our listeners in Oregon, then, this is big news that you're distributing your beer up there. Where can they find it?
Yeah, you can find it actually at Henry's, which is the old Blitz Weinhardt Brewery, which is a restaurant tap bar right now on Burnside. Also the Rose and the Raindrop, the Horse Brass,
nice.
And Concordia, which is a great beer bar. We just came from there, actually, before I went to the airport. Great beers on draft there, and it was a lot of fun. It was raining. It wasn't too bad, but we had a blast. It was a phenomenal. Just 2 days. We came here Friday night, and we're just leaving right now. So
there you go. You can find 2NA in Oregon, and when you go order the beer, tell them you heard about it at the Brewing Network. And if they give you a blank stare, cut their tip in half.
Exactly. Definitely do that.
You know, if they go, oh, yeah, that's great, then you double it, my friend.
Or if they just walk away like,
yeah, it's like, whatever. Drink your beer, jerk off.
There would be no tip for you.
All right, nope. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad that your beer's getting up there. Hey, Sully, next week is our final show of the year, so I'm hoping you're going to make it on for our...
I will definitely be there.
Okay, even if you've still got pneumonia.
Can I do one plug?
Yes.
I'll be on KFOG this Friday at 7 o'clock in the morning. Be sure to check me out there.
KFOG.com, everybody.
And one more. Yes. Stephanie says hello.
Oh, very nice. Cool. Say hello to Stephanie, and we're glad that you're a slimmer for her.
And JP, put your pants back on.
Good advice.
You know, I heard you on the phone, so I grabbed my my phone and started texting like crazy just to try to fit in with you.
Correct, you did, because like you, I'm a texting whore.
That's true. You know me oh too well.
Thanks, Sully.
All right, guys. Take care, man.
All right, later.
I thought you were, like, not supposed to use your phone on the...
Well, you can hear the...
On the ground now.
You can hear the stewardess in the background.
Saying, turn your phone off, jackass.
You can use your cushion as a flotation device, and he's talking about dying from whooping cough or whatever he has.
Yeah.
And everybody in the plane just loving that.
Yeah.
Pneumonia. Pneumonia. And everybody three places around, and we're just like, oh, God, I'm on a plane with this guy.
Yeah. Yes, Daniela.
I have an update for you in our fundraiser here.
Okay.
Okay, it looks like I've... don't hold me onto this because I just calculated in my head, but it looks like we have already donations of $529.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yes.
Holy cow.
And I want to thank everybody who has donated. Just a few names. Mika, Philip, Andrew, Andy, Tanya, Brian, Vichita, Robert, Michael, Boop. This is a company I don't know. Robert, Misty Rose, Gregory, Eric, Stephen, Patrick, Gary, another Stephen, and Ryan. So far, I see them in our PayPal account. Thank you so much. It's highly appreciated. That's worth an applause.
Yeah,
here.
Absolutely. That's a lot of money.
I'm moved.
If you're just tuning in, we're accepting donations for Linda Stark, who is in the Brewers Association, and she's battling cancer. She's undergoing an experimental treatment, which her insurance doesn't cover, and she needs our help. So we're just asking everybody to give anything that they can. Every $20 donation gets you a gift from the Brewing Network and Beer, Beer, and More Beer, and any donation of any amount puts your name in a hat to possibly become registered to win a conical today. So lots of reasons other than just to help Linda because she needs it. So if you're just tuning in, that's what we're doing. Okay, we got to get to Chris Colby. Chris Colby's got to bail us out here because we've hardly talked about anything beer. We've been on the air for 45 minutes and hardly said a word except for like 2-1-A. Chris Colby, are you there, sir? Chris,
Hello?
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is. All right, fantastic. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Now, editor of Brew Your Own magazine, if you don't know Chris, he's not just a magazine editor, but he's a beer guy all around and writes articles in there and has been involved in beer. How long have you been involved in the whole beer scene, even outside of Brew Your Own, Chris?
I started brewing in maybe 1990, 91, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I was in grad school, and I had heard that a couple of the other grad students there brewed beer, and, you know, I was interested. I asked them about it, and they said, you know, come over. We'll brew a batch, and that's how it started.
And you just got hooked like the rest of us.
That's mm-hmm. how it starts.
It only takes one batch, you know?
Yep.
And then you're hooked.
The first one's free,
first
boys.
One's free, boys. Come on. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to help you.
All right. Well, we do want to thank you for coming on the show with us, Chris. And
glad to be here.
Where are you located exactly?
I live in Bastrop, Texas. It's right near... It's right near Austin.
Okay. A good Texan boy. We got a few Texas listeners, as a matter of fact. So they might be stalking you sometime soon after the show. You got to watch out for that.
We'll put your address on the website.
All right. Let's start out with some general introductions. If you're a new brewer, or, you know, have been in a hole or something and don't know what Brew Your Own magazine is, Chris Colby is the editor of that magazine, and maybe you can give us a brief history and description of the magazine, if you would, please, Chris.
Yeah, Brew Your Own started out in California about 10 years ago, and they published out of California for about 5 years, and then the current publisher, Brad Ring, from Vermont, bought the magazine, moved it out there, and actually, coincidentally, at about that time, I started writing for them. I wrote, I wrote a humor piece, was my first piece for BYO, and from there on, I wrote a couple other things, and pretty soon they asked me to be the new techniques columnist, and so I started writing techniques. I can't remember what the year was, about 4 years ago, I think, four or five.
You'd probably had a few homebrews at that point, so you don't have to remember the date.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, I'd had maybe two by
yeah,
that point.
That's right. But they were strong ones.
Yeah, barley wine.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, I wrote that for a while, and then there was there was a time just after that where they asked me to come be the associate editor. But at that time, I had just moved to Texas, and they wanted me to move out to Vermont, and there was just no way that was going to happen. And
it's cold there.
So, yeah, it's cold there, although they do have maple syrup.
That's true.
So that's the trade-off.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
But you can get that in the store, though.
Freezing your ass off or maple syrup.
Yeah, that's the Vermont trade-off right there.
Fresh maple syrup.
It is.
Yeah, that wasn't going to do it for me.
All right.
I decided to stay in Texas.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what the trade-off here is.
I was going to say, that wouldn't have done it for me either.
Lone Star? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Lone Star, fire ants.
Girls with big hair.
And
that's in Dallas, pretty much.
I think either way, it's just kind of a, you know, it's a moot thing. It's just like, stay here, go to Vermont.
It's Texas.
It's either way.
Yeah.
Pond pool.
Well, you got a famous governor anyway, so that's good. You know, he's the president, JP. Don't look at me like JP's looking at me like, what governor?
The governor of Vermont is famous?
Texas.
I didn't catch that for a while.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
All right, go on. You had become the technical editor and remained in Texas.
Yeah, I stayed there for a while and continued writing techniques, and then the associate editor left, and they asked me again if I wanted to become the associate editor. And the second time they asked me, though, they said you can just, you know, stay in Texas and do it. And so,
or have two cases of maple syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So you got to telecommute then at that point.
Yep. So I started working as the editor, as associate editor there. And a couple years later, I was made editor. And that's pretty much the story.
Okay. And so how long have you been the editor of the magazine now?
About 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Three years, I think. It was late 2003.
Okay. Yeah, 3 years. What does it mean to be the editor of something like BYO Magazine? Do you actually, are you choosing the content for the magazine? Are you in charge of the whole thing, or are you just making sure it's all intact?
Well, yeah, as the editor, I look around for ideas for articles, and sometimes a lot of the issues recently, we try to put together, maybe have a couple articles of, similar topic, to try to pull together a little theme for the issue. And so, once we figure out what we want to go in the magazine, and that's a decision between me and the publisher, and although he lets me pretty much do what I want.
That's great.
It's nice. I mean, he's seen the kind of ideas I came up with, so and they're okay. If I started wanting to make an whole issue out of pickle beer or something,
sure.
I'm sure he'd step in and say, no.
Yeah, and rightly so,
Yeah.
It's a lot like working at the Brewing Network, because I let me do everything I want to until I start to come up with bad ideas. And
like making JP a brewcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I start coming up with ideas like that, then someone better put me in check, Doc.
We're going to have to.
And so it's a full-time gig for you running an entire magazine like that.
Yeah, because, we put out 8 issues of BYO a year.
Okay.
And then we also have a sister magazine, Winemaker, and there's 6 issues of that every year. And then we usually put out this special issue. In recent years, we put out a few. We just put out a special issue of 150 clone recipes.
I've seen that issue. That's a sweet issue if you're looking for recipes.
Yeah, I like that. Turned out pretty well.
Oh.
And we also got a Mr. Wizard book coming out pretty soon.
Okay. Let's in case again. I don't know. I always like to do the you got to state the obvious sometimes too, in case people have never read the magazine. Mr. Wizard's a cool segment that you guys have. It's a lot like the being able to write into us and ask Doc or ask Jamil anything you want.
Yeah.
But you guys do it monthly in the magazine, where people are just asking basic questions, and Mr. Wizard, who he really is a beer wizard, answers all of them. So you guys have put all of that together into one book. Is that what you're saying? Or one magazine, I guess.
Yeah, Mr. Wizard is Ashton Lewis. He's also our technical editor.
Okay.
And he's, he's a real bright guy, very knowledgeable in beer. He went to, UC Davis. He's currently the brewmaster at Springfield Brewing Company. And, he knows the guy has a phenomenal knowledge of beer. Yeah. And yeah, and every issue of BYO, there's the his column, which is just readers write in. You know, they ask a question, and he, you know, he answers the question, and he usually goes a little bit farther or takes a little interesting, you know, tangent along with the question. And it's for years been our most popular column we've had.
That's great. You need that. You need the one guy, the go-to guy.
I learn something from it every month, so.
Yeah.
So it gets a good column.
Well, let's geek out on the Wizard for just a second, because in the pre-interview I did with Chris, I got to find out a little bit about what Mr. Wizard does as his day job, and he is kind of like the equivalent of our doc in terms of the equipment that he has at his house.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not at his house, but he gets to use it every day. What's the deal with Mr. Wizard's day job?
Mr. Wizard's day job, he works at a company called Mueller, and they're stainless steel fabricators.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They make tanks for breweries. They may also do it for dairies and other related and pharmaceuticals, I'm not sure. But I know they do tanks for breweries, and his job, he goes on site a lot when they're installing new tanks in different places and, you know, does sort of engineering consulting with this company. Hmm. But he's also the brewmaster at their brewery, which is their sort of showcase brewery for if, say, you wanted to go buy a brand new stainless steel brew pub.
Yeah.
You'd go visit them, and they would show you this brewery with all the bells and whistles, like everything is made out of stainless.
How sweet is that?
He's got it. You know, it's every bell and whistle you need, plus, you know, everything you don't need but would want. And then some other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Just to rub it in.
Yeah, that's just fun. You know, it's just there for fun.
You got them hooked into that part. Get into the emotional part, make them buy more.
Yeah. What a great gig that is, where you actually have the showcase system. In fact, it's so great that it's probably a pain in the ass for him, because they're, like, upgrading his system every month with whatever new product they come out. He's like, oh, damn it, a new widget.
Yeah. You know? A new unit.
Yeah, I just got a new unit.
Yeah, I'm not sure how often they upgrade it, but he does put it to good use. If you look at every year when they announce the GABF winners, he's always got a couple in there.
Oh, that's
His American Wheat has won, I don't know, at least three or four different years, some sort of medal. And
that's great. So good authors at BYO Magazine.
Definitely.
Which, by the way, is a great segue. Chris, we wanted to make an announcement today that I thought was pretty cool, actually. Having to do with BYO Magazine, our very own Brewing Network's Jamil Zainashev is taking over a column in BYO Magazine.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, what's that all about, Chris?
Well, we have a column every month called Style Profile. This is a column that just, you know, explains how to brew a various style of beer. And for the past 3 or 4 years, this has been written by Horst Dornbusch. He was, you know, a German beer expert.
Yeah.
And anyway, he's got a consulting job right now that he likes and apparently pays a lot more than writing for BYO.
Go figure.
Yeah. So he's decided to focus on that aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, that came open, and one of the first people I thought of was, you know, Jamil.
Yeah.
You know, widely known for having brewed, you know, successfully brewed across the different styles. And so Jamil's going to be our new style profile.
So now I know why you got the big write-up in BYO.
You're just grooming him. It was inside track. No, that was because the Brewing Network is so immensely popular.
That's true.
You guys couldn't resist writing about us, right?
Yeah.
So you could even say Jamil was headhunted from the Brewing Network Monday show.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
It's perfect, though, because he is a master of the styles. I think he is actually brewed, and successfully being the key word here, every single style in the guidelines.
Yeah.
Whether he liked it or not.
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. He brewed every single one, and that's what the show he does for us here. So, Chris, when he, you know, shamelessly self-promotes the Brewing Network in each issue of the BYO, it's your job to edit that out, isn't it?
It's my job to edit it out unless you guys shamelessly promote BYO in every installment.
Fair enough. I like the way that Chris thinks. Actually, this is perfect. Yeah. No, I'm actually really excited about that, and for Jamil too, because he really likes to do that sort of thing, and he's a good writer. And, yeah. And congratulations to him and to you guys for getting them, because that's going to be a great new feature of BYO.
Well, BYO is a great mag. I read every month. I have every issue.
Yeah.
All the way back in binders.
Do you really?
Yeah,
you're that guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy.
That's Chris. You love that guy. You're like, that's my kind of beard.
You've got more issues than I have.
Yeah, I've got them all. I've got them all in binders. In fact, Chris Graham comes over. He looks on the shelf. He goes, "You ass."
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I've never been the magazine in a binder guy, but yeah. I have always kind of looked up to it and realized, because anytime, like, for example, we're going to start talking sour beers here, and I know that there's been some issues with sour beers. Well, Doc, if he's about to brew one, can easily just pull off
right.
an old issue.
I'll pull out the old issue, and I'll look up, usually on the internet, look up on your index and see, you know, what months they came up.
Yeah, and then you have
And
it.
I'll pull those months and start... Yeah, compiling.
You nerd.
Yeah, the website's really good, the BYO.com. You could do recipe searches and stuff too. And
cool.
And
can you buy
a lot of good info.
Can you buy past issues on your site, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah, actually you can.
Except for a few. There's a few in 95 that are not available.
Nah.
I know you can't.
Yeah,
you can't have mine.
There's very few that are out of print, but most of them are available online.
Okay. Well, that's a good resource to have there. You can get downloads of the Brewing Network shows online, too, you know.
That's true.
We're not far behind you.
Chris, you might want to put that in an issue or two. Just kind of slip it in.
Yeah.
Ask Mr. Wizard. Mr. Wizard,
yeah.
How can I learn about beer at 2 in the morning on Thursday?
You go to thebrewingnetwork.com.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. How long were you a home brewer before you got into the beer magazine business?
I think... maybe about 5 years, maybe okay. a little longer than that.
And do you still homebrew?
Oh, yeah.
You got a, are you one of these guys who's got a homebrew club, too?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely like my homebrew club. I'm a member of the Austin Zealots.
Yep,
nice.
And we're a homebrew club. We meet at, if there's any Austinites listening, we meet at the Gingerman down on 4th Street. It's usually the third Saturday of every month. Except for certain special months, like December, there's usually a Christmas party. And if you're interested, AustinZealots.com or .org, I can't remember. It's one of them.
Yeah, you'll find. But, just do a Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll find us.
It'll show up.
But they have to know how to spell zealot.
Now, do you have like a position in the club? You know, like in the government. Because here I'm thinking,
wait, isn't that missionary?
If you got the editor of BYO magazine in your club, like
you got a pretty solid club.
You advertise that, right?
Yeah.
You do something. So are you like president or secretary or anything?
No, I'm nothing in the club. I just a random member. We actually as clubs go, we're about the minimum level of organization you can have before you're just random people not associated with each other.
I don't know, Chris. You should come up for a Doze meeting, man.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Yeah. We have a primary fermenter, Corey Martin, and we have a secondary fermenter, which is a couple, Dan and Joelle Dewberry. And beyond that, it's just members.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I don't like the whole government thing anyway.
No.
Someone telling you what to do all
yeah.
the time. I don't care if it's Chris Colby. You don't have to tell me what to do. Why did I just get angry all of a sudden?
Come on, you can't have an organization without organization.
That's true. It's a good point.
The only thing
the Brewing Network, for example.
Yeah. The only reason you're saying that because he's in the organization of the Doze Club. So.
Yeah.
Because he's the organization.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Doze Club.
I just tuck in the back and stay quiet.
Yeah, you talk too much. Shut up.
Well, while we're on the topic, we always like to find out if brew clubs are doing anything unique to give ideas to other brew clubs too. So, you guys got anything specific that you guys do out there?
We have a couple fun parties every year. We have a Christmas party and a picnic, but our big thing recently has been our homebrew contest called the Homebrew Inquisition.
Nice.
We got the name from got a lot of Monty Python fans in the organization, and so the Spanish Inquisition scene, yeah, sort of became the Homebrew Inquisition.
I like it.
Yeah, and the sort of unique thing about our contest is that we're not, we don't go by BJCP styles. We have 10 like extremely broad categories, you know, things like hoppy beers, dark beers, strong beers. And you basically, your beer is judged on how good it tastes, and irrespective of how closely it matches any style, you know, real or imagined.
Really?
Yeah, I've always liked that idea.
It is a cool idea.
It's about, you know, who's got the best beer, not does this fit.
So does that mean
that was exactly our thought coming into it. We had a lot of brewers in our club who brew fantastic beers, but they don't, none of us really seem to care that there are style guidelines written for this or that. You know, we brew what we like. We throw in however many hops.
Yeah.
You know, malt. Or, you know, spruce. We've got a guy who brews spruce beers all the time.
Nice.
And, you know, we just throw in what we want, you know, make the beer that we like. And, you know, I mean, we've got a couple brewers in the club who routinely win a lot of medals at homebrew contests. But a lot of us, you know, like me, I'll send in a few every year. But a lot of times I don't have any beers that match up to any styles, so I don't need to send it in and have a judge tell me it's not the style.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I already know that.
Well, they'll tell you it's clean and sure. Nice beer. I could drink a lot of this, and then you get a 27.
Yeah, because it's not the style.
Yep.
Well, I guess what I like...
We've got a slate of those at our club.
What I like is that there's room for both, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wouldn't want to have stop having the style competitions, but how cool is it when I just brew a beer, I can send it to this competition? Now, does that mean that it's just one big category, and you just go which one's the best out of every entry, or do you still break it down to try to give multiple medals?
We break it down in sort of large categories. We have like a category of malty and sweet beers. We have a couple categories of hoppy beers. There's like, you know, hoppy and monster hoppy.
Okay.
We've got big beers, and we got that broken down into big and, you know, booze bomb.
Right.
And
nice.
And, you know, dark beers, ones that are, you know, dark, and then we have roasty. And so, you know, there's a, you know, we give a fairly large category, but enough of a constraint that all the beers are sort of at least apples and apples that you're judging between and not apples and oranges.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, we have best of show at the end.
Cool. I like that. I mean, you got to have the general categories. I'd like to put in my name to be your official booze bomb judge. I don't have any credentials or anything, but
I know I like beer.
But I know I like booze bombs.
Which just definitely makes it easier on the judges.
Yeah.
You know, you want them drinking a Kolsch and then a, you know, stout.
Right.
And hitting a Doppelbock, and then it's just all over the place.
Sure. Well, that's cool. So that's a good competition. When, you know, when do you have that? And I guess how can people find out? Because that's cool.
Yeah, our website, which is, again, I should look this up, but it's either zealots.com or it's either austinzealots.com or austinzealots.org.
And it's all there.
We'll have that information coming out. It's every year it's held. The entry dates are usually starting in mid-April, and the contest is usually right around May 1st. Or maybe a little later than that, but you can find out on our website. It's always right around April, May.
Is that a club only thing, or is it a?
No, it's open to anybody.
Oh, nice,
fantastic.
Even you, JP.
Even me, because that's good. Because I, like Chris said, I'm tired of people saying my beer is
not to style
at all. What were you thinking? You should really sell your stuff and give up and go bake cookies. You know, I'm tired of that crap.
Well, I think you just name your beer Big 27.
I'm just tired of my, you know, beer not being good.
You know what? So am I, actually. I'm tired of that, too, for you.
And you're tired of it trying to make it better.
Yeah.
I'm getting sick of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Chris, that's why you're here. That's why I'm moving to sour beers.
Right.
Because I'm like...
Because most of his are.
Yeah, exactly. I'm changing my name to Captain Off Flavor, and I think that sour beer is going to be my my category, Chris, and that's why I'm glad you're here to help us with that.
That's why he's so gung-ho on this.
Captain Infection.
It seems to be .com, by the way.
AustinZealots.com.
Yeah.
Okay, we checked it out for you.
Spell Chris. Zealot.
We did a little little editing for you, my friend.
That's awesome.
That's the power of the web, baby.
All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back and talk sour beers. But before I do that, I want everybody to know, do a little shameless plug for both you and us, Chris. You can order Brew Your Own magazine, and I think it's a good time to do it since Jamil Zainashev is taking over the style column for them, and everybody here on the network loves the Pope. So it's a good time, a better time than ever, to sign up for your subscription to BYO magazine. You can do it through our website. If you go right to thebrewingnetwork.com, there's big, giant, red flashing banners there that say, you know, subscribe to BYO through us, and BYO is kind enough to help us out as we help them out, and it's a cool thing and a good partnership, and they actually do it with a lot of the podcasts. It's really it's very generous and a nice thing to do.
Do you think Jamil will go by the handle of the Pope?
I was thinking
the Pope speaks.
For the header, you need that picture of him with the beer behind the pulpit. And you and
John and Speedos.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that's a good
picture
idea.
Picture of him with a giant Pope hat with like a tap coming out of it and blood being poured from it.
See, now we're talking.
Yeah,
I think you got to have fun with it. You know.
Yeah, add some visual impact to the.
Exactly.
I like the Pope
because the information is also so serious and straightforward that it helps to make him look like a doofus. You know, it helps me anyway.
Yeah. Why are you so smart? You know what? I'm going to take you down a little bit, Pope.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock you down.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk about sour beers. And Chris Colby's going to help us out. You've done a few articles about it, and I assume you've done quite a few of them yourself at home, right?
Yeah, I'm sort of an avid sour beer fan, and I always try to have a couple in the works, and I've got... got a few in the pipeline right now. I've got a few planned for the future. So, yeah, I like sour beers and I brew them.
Okay. Sounds good. So we're going to do that when we come back. Daniela, you have a bit of information for us before we go to the break?
Well, it's not information. It's actually a challenge for you.
Uh-huh.
Somebody, Vichita, actually came up with the idea, and I totally support it.
Yeah.
He was saying, if you would be willing to dye your intimate hair pink if we raise $1,000 tonight.
We already have, though.
I dye my intimate hair pink.
Yes, or your top hair.
Or my top hair.
Yeah, or your beard, whatever. The hair that's very, like, a lot of hair.
Because no one's going to see my intimate hair.
Well, we could take
pictures. I
want to
know who's
going to
do it.
if we raise $1,000?
Yes.
Where are we at right now?
I don't know, maybe $600 or so.
No. Are you lying? We're at like $999.
we're over because of the match from HCI.
It's true. Well, we're already at $1,000.
Yeah.
Well, no, from the listeners.
Just from the listeners.
So
okay.
What? I mean, I am your girlfriend, so I'm the only one who should be
she
really
wants
concerned
pink
about
hair.
Her.
If you're gonna do that, set this bar higher than $1,000.
No, I would like him to do it for $1,000.
She wants pink hair done.
$5,000.
And I would support you in it, and I would be totally happy with you having pink hair.
I'll do it
for Linda.
I'll do it.
Great.
But what am I dyeing?
Would you
dye your back hair?
Maybe,
that's probably the most.
Maybe
hairy.
The beard and the intimate hair. Because your top hair is a lot.
I know it's a lot of pink hair.
No, I think just puke.
Yeah, I'll do my beard too.
Great.
I'll do it all.
And,
if the listeners
ear hair.
If the listeners themselves come up with $1,000 tonight, I will dye my beard.
And your eyebrows.
And
oh, now we're going eyebrows.
You can't dye your eyebrows. Why, not to dye your eyebrows.
Oh, I can dye eyebrows.
Oh. Whoa.
You're gonna burn my eyes out.
Yeah. No, we're going to be fine. We'll do
it's
it.
Okay, it's okay. Radio.
Thank you for accepting this challenge.
Absolutely. I'm more than happy to do it. If we can raise $1,000 just among the listeners tonight, I'll do some pink dyeing. That's fine.
Very good.
And we'll post pictures of it and everything. It's well worth it.
Thank
to
you.
Help out a friend of beer, Linda Stark, who really needs a bit of fundraising right now to help her out with her treatment, if you don't know what we're talking about. You can go to brookston.org/beer. It's a great beer blog, and you can find out what we're talking about and get the lowdown about Linda Stark. And she's getting some experimental treatment that she needs our help with, so we're doing a little fundraising tonight all during the show, and apparently I'm going to dye myself pink.
You'll be experimental yourself.
In order to help out with that. Chris Colby, hang on there just a second, because when we come back, we're going to start talking sour beers with you, sir. And also, we've got Cold Hot Crash coming in the studio just a little bit later when we're done talking sour beers with Chris, and they're going to do a live performance for us.
Nice.
Hang in there, everybody. We're still registering people for our conical tonight.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Brewing Network's promo spot, Conical Christmas, take one. in a world where beer was king?
No in a world, Push.
What do you mean, no in a world?
This is a commercial for the Brewing Network's Conical Christmas giveaway.
Oh, okay. In a land that...
No in a land either.
In a time... In a land before time.
Look, this is a commercial to inform the listeners of the upcoming Conical Christmas giveaway.
One man.
No.
When your life is no longer your own.
What does that mean?
When everything you know is wrong.
That's wrong.
In an outpost.
It's a giveaway.
On the edge of space.
They're giving away two conicals.
A girl.
No.
Two girls.
Just tell them to listen to the Brewing Network every week between now and December 10th to register to win one of two conicals donated by Beer, Beer, and More Beer and HCA Industries.
Now.
What is wrong with you?
More than ever.
Stop it!
A renegade cop.
I hate you.
A robot renegade cop.
You're fired.
You're fired.
No, you're actually fired.
I'm fired.
Get out of the booth, Push.
No, I like it in here.
The Brewing Network Comical Christmas Giveaway. Keep listening for your chance to win.
life,
one beer at a time.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Chris Colby's on the show with us today. We're about to start talking sour beers. Before we do that, who was that band we played at the break there?
That was actually my guitar teacher playing Watermelon Seeds.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I felt like I've been playing guitar for about 30 years, and I decided I wanted to play some fingerstyle blues, so I've been with him for about 2 years.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
A bit of a music show tonight, too, not only the sour beers and Brew Your Own Magazine with Chris Colby, but we've got Cold Hot Crash, a local San Francisco band, coming in a little bit later to play some music for us, and you've all heard him before, so we thought we'd bring him in live to do it. Also, if you're just tuning in, one of the ways that you can register tonight to win a Conical in the Brewing Network's Conical Christmas is to donate money for Linda Stark, and she needs your help. She's battling cancer and undergoing experimental treatment. It's kind of a last chance, and she's going for it and really needs us to pitch in and help her. So every single donation tonight, I don't care what the money, what the amount is, $1, $2, every single donation puts your name in a hat during tonight's show, and at the end of the show, we're going to do a drawing, and one lucky person will be registered for a chance to win a Conical from Beer, Beer, and More Beer, courtesy of Beer, Beer, and More Beer, and HCA Industries. So make sure that you donate during tonight's show, and we'll get your name in that hat. We have another way to register a little bit later in the show, too, so hang in there, because we're going to register two people tonight. Chris, hang in there one second, because I got a phone call to take, too. And by the way, I got a lot of questions coming in already for sour beers, and I'm glad, because I think we can have a really great sour beer discussion tonight with Chris, as he is one of the guys who can show us how to do it. Bub, is that you on the phone with us?
Yo.
What's happening?
Hey, Bub.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Good.
What's the word, my friend?
Okay, I got three things.
Okay.
Number one, if we get a grand, my head is bare, shaved.
You'll shave your head if we raise $1,000 tonight. Aren't you already
clear that
like
with the wife?
Yeah.
I'm already half bald, so it's not a big deal.
So she'll be all right with it.
Yeah, well.
Now, when you say shaved.
Actually, no, she just said, I hate you.
So. I hate you.
How about shaved and shiny?
Yeah. Are you going to take like a razor to it?
No, I'll go with the clippers.
The clippers, okay.
Oh, no, I want it shaved and shiny.
I kind of like the Bic action,
too.
Yeah.
I'd take layers off like a cheese grater.
No, you have your wife do it.
Man up.
She's got to shave it down pretty close, and then she can, like, Bic the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she's got you the rest of the night, too.
Come on, Bub.
She has a hard enough time with my back.
All right.
Whoa.
Okay, so Bub will shave his head, and I'm dyeing hair pink. What else you got, Bub?
All right. Number two.
Bub, when she's shaving your back.
Oh, God.
How far down does she get that she stops?
She just gets the
belt line, or she keep
down,
going?
So nothing's sticking out of the.
Oh, anyway. The belt?
Okay. All right.
Okay, number two, the home improvement tip of the week.
Yeah.
When you're using the powder-actuated nailer, remember to put your earplugs back in, because I was talking like Marley Matlin for about an hour today.
Oh, yeah.
It's
loud.
It was very bad.
All right. And lastly, what else you got?
And lastly, I've extended the registration deadline for the Secret Santa Beer Exchange for Christmas.
Okay.
If you get it in by noon Pacific tomorrow at www.bubweb.com/secretsanta.
Okay.
Check the forms if you don't know how to spell.
Yep.
You'll get in, and I should have the all the information out to you by Tuesday night or so.
Okay, and that's a cool thing that Bub puts on for the Brewing Network twice a year. So check it out. You're going to exchange beers with other homebrewers from all over the world if you join in the Bub Web Secret Santa. So go to bubweb.com/secretsanta, or check it out in the Brewing Network forums. You'll get all the information.
Bub, before I forget, just put me in for that. Can you do that? Because I'll go home and I'll forget. I'll get busy and I'll forget to do it.
Same information as last year. Yeah. I think I still have your stuff.
Yeah, it's all right. Good. I'm in.
Thanks,
all right.
Bub.
All right, no problem.
Take care, brother.
Bye.
All right, Bub's shaving his head and I'm dying hair pink if we raise $1,000 tonight for Linda Stark. And I can't think of a better reason to dye things pink or to shave heads. It's a good thing all around. All right, Chris Colby, you still with us?
Yes.
Fantastic. We're going to start talking sour beers with you. And like I said, I got a bunch of questions lined up in front of us already. And I think to kick us off and to figure out, you know, what makes a sour beer different and why we need to have a specific discussion about it, the question came through, is how does brewing a sour beer compare to brewing other styles of beer? So just in a general sense, what are we talking about that's different here?
Well, that's a good question, and it's made a little bit difficult by the fact there's a lot of different styles of sour beer.
Okay.
You can the general way that sour beers, of course, are general are different than normal beers is that they're sour. but you know the way you can achieve sourness in a beer varies. There are a lot of different ways. You know, you can, one way to make a sour beer is to make a sour mash and then run off and make a beer from that. You know, you can essentially, you mash in and then you, one way people do it is let the beer sit overnight and have the mash sit at about 120 degrees roughly. You'll build up a bunch of sourness, then you run off the wort like normal, and brew a beer from that. That's okay. One way to make a sour beer. Yeah, another way is to either contaminate the beer with some souring microorganisms, or actually pitch the beer with contaminating microorganisms. Like the way like lambics are typically made is they they make their wort and they cool it in a cool ship where a certain amount of environmental organisms will drop into it. And then they rack it over to barrels that are, pretty much loaded with the kind of microorganisms that sour beer. And, so these are sort of contaminated beers, and then they develop their sourness that way.
Yeah.
Other beers like Berliner Weiss or, some of the experimental Brettanomyces beers that, guys like Vinny Chalurzo from Russian River or Tommy Arthur from Pizza Port are making. Those are actually pitched, where they'll actually grow up large quantities of these microorganisms. In those cases, those guys make some Brett beers, for Brettanomyces beers. Berliner Weiss guys, they grow up a large amount of lactobacillus and pitch it. And so that's another way is, to get microorganisms to do it, in fermentation rather than in the mash. And, the final way is you can just simply add something that's acidic to your finished beer, and that will, whether it's a cultured acid or an ingredient that's incredibly acidic, like cranberries or something.
Lots of different ways to do it.
So yeah, there's a lot of options, and then when you get into, of the sort of microorganisms that can potentially add sourness to a beer, there's a bunch of them.
Okay.
So it's like it's a good question, but.
Well, I guess then we'll answer it throughout the conversation about them.
So
as
what's
we go.
Your
what's
your favorite style or way to make a sour beer? Let's start with style.
All the sour beers I've done have been beers that I've grown up that the sourness has developed in fermentation from I'll pitch a small amount of yeast, usually the Y yeast lambic blend or the individual cultures by Y yeast or White Labs.
Mm-hmm.
So mine would be the, sort of the sourness comes from you start off with a small amount of, rather than a large pitching amount of the souring organisms, just a small enough amount so that they take hold and the souring develops over a long period of time.
Okay.
I've brewed, most of my sour beers have been lambics, but I've brewed, I've brewed one Berliner Weiss, I've brewed a couple sort of, there's no style to them, just, sort of an amber sour beer.
Just so, stinky is the style.
So you prefer pitching everything at the beginning and using a smaller pitch of the Brettanomyces and then letting it take hold later on rather than the other way of, pitching your Saccharomyces and letting that brew and brew through and then adding your Brettanomyces after that.
You can actually do it either way. There, and I've done it both ways, and I'm not sure really how big of a difference it makes. The thing is, when you have fresh beer wort and you pitch, a mixed culture of both brewer's yeast and the various, you know, souring organisms, whether it's, you know, lactobacillus or pediococcus or Brett. Brewer's yeast works so quickly on brewer's wort that, you know, the first part of the fermentation is going to progress, and the brewer's yeast is going to, you know, utilize everything it can. And then it's the, you know, remaining things that are unfermentable by brewer's yeast are going to be used by the souring microorganisms. And, you know, from a practical standpoint, whether you pitch the, you know, all your organisms at first, or whether you wait till the primary fermentation is done, from my own experience, you know, I mean, I haven't done a side-by-side test of it or anything like that, but just from my experience, I don't see that big of a difference.
Okay.
The souring, especially the bacteria, you know, either lactobacillus or pediococcus, those are such slow growers,
right,
that you know, the week or two that, you know, delay between pitching it, you know, at yeast pitching or waiting till, you know, secondary is not really going to add up to that much.
Now I want to chime in just about the actual bacteria part before we, and then I'll have us back up and kind of start fresh of how to brew one of these guys. But people who listen to the show know that I'm kind of a germ freak, and my first thoughts about the sour beers when we started talking about them long before I liked them is that it really freaked me out that it was bacteria that were making the beers what they are. And now I'm telling you, I can't get enough of them. And I'm even to the point where I'm like, yeah, throw some Ebola in there, I don't care. Like, whatever makes it more sour, you know, the more sour, the better in terms of how this goes. So how about this? Now, I had been speaking to, I think it was Doc that told me this, that there's a way to brew a sour type of beer, I think a lambic, that you actually start by brewing a normal beer, and you would ferment that out with a normal yeast, like a Cal Ale or something like that. And then you would add fruit to it and then put in a funky yeast. What style is that, Doc?
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier, when do you pitch whatever you're going to pitch.
Yeah, but you got to add food to it again, too, right?
Not necessarily, because the what he's talking about, the other organisms, the bacteria and the wild yeast, they eat things that the normal brewer's yeast don't.
Okay.
So once the brewer's yeast is done doing what it's doing, it leaves that residual sweetness or whatever in there.
Yeah.
Then you got your other things that are going to come through and start mowing through all the rest of the stuff, but they're also really slow.
Okay.
So that's why your lambic sits there for 8 months.
8 months. I did have a question come through here earlier since you mentioned that is, you know, what's the minimum amount of time that you can leave a sour, lambic type of a beer?
Well, Chris, what do you think on that one?
On a sour lambic type, if you're brewing a beer where you don't pitch, you know, you haven't made a big starter of the souring microorganism, you're going to need, you know, at a bare minimum, you might get lucky and have something kind of sour enough at 3 months, although it's not incredibly likely. 6 months, you know, maybe half the time you'd have something fairly sour, you know, if you did everything else right. And certainly when you get on 9 months and a year, you know, if you've done everything, you know, pretty well correctly, it should be
ready.
It should have developed. One thing about sour beers is that they're not like normal beers, in that you normally, you know, you're making an average strength ale or something, you pitch, you know, your starter, and if you do it 10 times, the fermentation is going to run basically the same way. You know, maybe it takes a day or two longer, you know, sometimes, or maybe it finishes a day or two earlier, some others. But, you know, there'll be a nice curve to it.
Okay.
With you know, sour beer fermentations, they're very finicky. They're, like, you know, sometimes they'll really take off. Sometimes they'll really sputter for a long time. And, you know, sometimes they'll go through stages where, you know, it'll go really good for a while, then they'll stop, you know, seemingly, and then they'll go really good for a little while, and, you know, with regard to adding sourness, so...
Okay.
So just have some patience.
They're less predictable.
See,
so, you know, the basic way, you know, the basic way as a home brewer to just deal with it is just, you know, figure that you're going to make your little bucket of sour beer, stick it somewhere warm to condition, and just, you know, just put it out of your mind that, put it on your mind for like 6 months. Just say, you know, I'm just going to set it there. I'm not going to worry about it, you know, and I'll go take a sample. And if it's not sour enough, just figure, you know, I'm going to seal up the bucket, I'm not going to worry about it for another 3 months.
And it will develop.
Do you usually use buckets, or do you have a wooden cask? Your favorite?
Thing? I don't have barrels. I use buckets
okay.
because generally the kind of bacteria, you know, like Lactobacillus or Pediococcus, or even some of the other strains like Onococcus or Lucanostoc, all these bacteria are what's called microaerophilic,
right.
which means they're anaerobic bacteria, meaning they don't utilize oxygen, you know, like we do for respiration. But for some reason, small amounts of oxygen do them good.
Okay.
And in a bucket, you have just enough airflow, you know, sort of oxygen coming through the plastic to sort of stimulate them.
Oh, nice. So yeah, one of the good things about plastic being porous.
Yeah, it's a little bit breathable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's apparently, and I don't know if I quite believe this, but I've read it at least, actually in BYO.
that, nice.
yeah, one of our authors said that it's the buckets are actually more permeable to oxygen than a wooden cask, and I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a
yeah. Because I was thinking, you know, one of the big things that the old lambic breweries talk about, you know, Cantillon or any of those guys, is that mm-hmm. it's that you can't reproduce what's in their barrels. Right, so a lot of the bacteria that they want in their beer is already in the wooden barrels. And I'm wondering, obviously, you know, your plastic bucket hasn't been, you know, brewing batches for
100 years.
But I do wonder if that, if the lacto or the pediococcus does stick around in the porous, portions
definitely.
Of the plastic bucket.
They definitely do, yeah.
Yeah? So you do?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Okay.
You know, depends on if your bucket is all beat up and scratched up, maybe they're hiding in those scratches. But you know, if you got a relatively new bucket and it's, you know, clear hard plastic, you know, I think you can pretty much wipe the you know, the surface clean.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about, you know, those breweries where they have, you know, the barrels that they've used and you know, all that, there's a tremendous number of microorganisms in those beers. It's not just the main ones
yeah.
that, you know, show up in like a Y yeast, you know, or White Labs blend. But, you know, the White Labs and the Y yeast, the organisms they have in those blends are the major contributors to the flavor. You know, they're the major sour producers, and with the Brettanomyces, they're the major producers of the, you know, lambic funk or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can, and a lot of advanced lambic brewers do, is if you get, a Belgian lambic and you like it, and it's not pasteurized, which some are, some aren't, you know, a lot of lambic brewers, they'll finish the bottle and then they'll take the dregs of it, you know, with any sediment and just, you know, dump it into their latest fermentation. And, you know, so hopefully, you know, the idea is that, you know, some percentage of, you know, the wide variety of organisms that they started with were still alive in there, and, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll grow up and not wreck your beer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. A lot of people have tried to isolate things and grow them up on slants and petri dishes, and a lot of those smaller microorganisms you're talking about, they just don't like that. You got the easy.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to know the growth characteristics.
Yeah,
some people also just have like a wooden slat, like either from a barrel or just some random piece of wood that they'll throw it in every wild beer fermentation they have, you know, especially if they make the same kind of beer, like a lambic, time and time again. Then they'll just, you know, pull it out and move it to the next one, you know, with the idea that this, you know, little wooden, you know, timber or slat or, you know, whatever, it's just going to start harboring, you know, these microorganisms, and, you know, it'll continue to pass them on to batch after batch after batch. And,
yeah.
People report, I've never tried that, but the people who do it, you know, sort of swear by it.
Okay. I wonder if we can take this conversation in the direction of choosing a specific beer and going from beginning to end. Now, I have a favorite.
That might be a good idea.
I have a favorite commercial beer, but I wonder if it'd be easier if we take one of the favorite ones that you like to brew, and any kind of sour beer, you know, that might showcase one of the different processes. If you want to do it that way, that might be a little easier because you've already done it. What do you think about that? And if I have to, we can take a break for you to kind of take a search and see if you got.
Well, no,
one
I
you
mean,
talk
we
about.
Could. Yeah, we could do it either way. We could go through Lambic production if we wanted. We could go through, like, Berliner Weiss production.
I'd love to do a Lambic if we could do that.
That's my thinking, too.
I think it's a lot of our favorite beers here.
They get people's Lambic fire lit under them, too.
Yeah. In fact, I was going to say, my commercial favorite right now is the Rose de Gambrinus from Cantillon, which just is amazing. Amazing.
Oh, those guys know. Those guys have their heads screwed on at Cantillon.
Yeah. And in fact, we're drinking a Cantillon right now. We're drinking the Iris.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. We've got our listeners are great to us. I just want to say right now, by the way, that they're awesome and are sending us things all the time. And one of our listeners goes by the name of Yinzer on here. Doc, you know of him. We've spoken to him before. He sent us a case of rare sour
That's
beers.
So cool.
Of it. Like, it's giant. I don't even want to think about what it cost the man to go
so
find
all
these.
So you have to change your pants?
Yes. Well, he sent us, so we've got the Iris that we're drinking now. There's, I can't even remember all the names now. Here, I got a couple of the names right here that he sent us. Lupepe. We got the Cantillon Lupepe in here.
That's a good one. That's a good beer.
He's got some Goose, some Creek, some Framboise in here. His favorite is the Hansen's Oud Goose. He sent us one of those. And he just found them all over the New York and New Jersey and Georgia area. He traveled to a whole bunch of places and came up with a collection. And so the Iris, I guess, I read a description of it, is one of the hoppier sour type of beers. They use a lot more hops in this one than almost any other ones.
Four pellets instead of three.
Yeah. Which I'd like to talk about, too. I'm sure that you can help
and
us with
that. Hops are only aged 1 year instead of three.
Instead of three. So anyway, I just wanted to give out a good thanks and let y'all know what we're drinking, courtesy of a fantastic listener in Yinzer.
Made a lot of people happy around here.
That's right. We're appreciating it, and we'll probably appreciate a couple more as the night goes on. Okay, so why don't we pick, then, a Lambic of yours, Chris, and, kind of start from the beginning.
Okay, well, the first stage, as with any beer, is wort production. And traditionally, lambics are produced through what's called a turbid mash, which is a very long, involved process using, a mixture of malted barley and unmalted wheat, and, maybe sometimes with some malted wheat along with the unmalted wheat. For homebrewers, though, you've got to consider that in a lambic, your wort is going to be entirely chewed up. The brewer's yeast is going to go through it, and then the various microorganisms are going to, basically get every last bit of it. So, for me, although I appreciate the historical aspect that they did these, tremendously long involved mashes.
Yeah.
I usually just go with a single infusion mash.
Okay.
Of, barley malt and wheat malt, because, maybe possibly somebody with a super refined palate could tell the difference. But I can't, so I'm not going to spend the extra.
Hey, that's good enough for me. I'm into.
Yeah.
We're practical brewers around here, Chris. So
it's an easier way to start your first lambic, doing a single infusion mash with malted wheat, rather than going the whole traditional route.
Oh, and it's perfect for me because all I ever do is single infusion mashes. So, all right. So
when you consider how strongly the fermentation gives the characteristics of this beer, how strongly sour they are.
Yeah.
I'm really sort of skeptical if you could taste the difference between, going through a traditional turbid mash and, a simpler, just a simple step mash or a, single infusion mash.
Okay.
Maybe there are people who can, and that's good for them.
Right. Yes.
I'm not among them. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. So we do a single infusion then.
Yep, do a single infusion mash, or even, there's a guy in Minneapolis, Steve Piatz, who does, he's won, a whole raft of medals for lambics, and he just does straight extract for that. So, you can decide whether to go the whole day turbid mash route or the, 60-minute malt extract route to produce your wort.
Okay.
For lambics, you usually make a wheat-based beer, maybe usually 60% wheat, 40% barley, but again, I wouldn't say it's brain surgery, and then you have you know, sort of a variety of options when you pitch.
Okay.
You can either just pitch, you know, any decent ale strain, or you can pitch the ale strain and, you know, a mix of bacteria and the yeast, you know, like the White Icelandic blend or the White Labs, you know, Belgian sour mix.
Now, what's the advantage of you know, putting it all in at once as opposed to letting them do their work separately?
Simplicity, I would say. You know, you just pitch it all, seal it up, and not worry about it.
Okay.
One thing I sort of wonder about, and I don't know that this is the case or not, but I know that in small amounts of small amounts of oxygen don't hurt lacto or PDO.
Right.
But I tend to aerate pretty good. And, you know, I wonder if pitching them into a strongly aerated wort might stun them for a little while.
That's a good point.
So I tend to pitch just, I'll either pitch just brewer's yeast, or sometimes I'll pitch brewer's yeast and the mix, but I always pitch a little bit extra after primary fermentation has ended.
A little?
Because
extra of the mix.
A little of bacteria.
Yeah.
So in a week, you'd take another pitch, a second pitch.
Okay.
Yeah, because I definitely, when the wort is fermented, depleted of oxygen, I definitely want to throw in a second dose.
Yeah.
Either first or second dose of the either the blend, or sometimes I'll buy the, you know, the lacto, PDO, and Brettanomyces separately.
Yeah. It's a good point that you make, because a healthy environment for one yeast, for your brewer's yeast, is potentially a toxic environment for another.
Yep.
If you get all that oxygen in there. So that's actually a really good point that you make. So maybe you do just kind of want to wait. Although I guess then your insurance policy then is to add the bacteria again later, no matter what.
Right. Yeah, that's essentially it.
Okay.
Yeah, like you say, every microorganism has a different set of, you know, environmental characteristics that it works well in.
Yeah.
You know, brewer's yeast has a certain set of, you know, conditions where it works well. Brettanomyces actually works, you know, fairly well under the conditions that brewing yeast does. They're both yeast.
I see.
They both of them work well in a strongly aerated culture. Brettanomyces will ferment roughly like a beer yeast.
Okay.
They're usually a little bit slower. They usually, to get it to do well and consistently, you tend to need to pitch larger if you're pitching a bunch of Brettanomyces. But you can sort of look at, Brettanomyces just like as an undomesticated brewer's yeast.
Okay.
You know, just one that you need to finish, you know, be a little bit more finicky about. But then the lacto and PDO are anaerobes, so they don't they like a small amount of oxygen, but I'm not really sure how well they do with a lot of oxygen. So that's why I tend to pitch the souring microorganisms later.
Okay.
It's probably a good idea, and that goes back to what I was talking about, trying to grow them up on plates or slants. They don't like a lot of oxygen.
Okay.
So probably a good idea, like you said, just pitch it all at once and then repitch the things that are real oxygen phobic.
Now, if we're doing the weight, or we're repitching later, are we going for our standard, you know, let's say 14-day fermentation, you know, wait for it to ferment out completely, and then we're adding the bacteria?
You can add it any time, probably after probably the third day. All the oxygen is going to be gone.
It
doesn't really matter, I would say.
So all you're really concerned about is oxygen.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I think about.
You know, the regular brewer's yeast, you know, it's going to be happy being in there for 2 weeks and doing its deed.
Yeah.
This stuff, you got to be thinking months.
Yeah.
So you want a big pitch.
Wish it took me months to do my deed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do the deed. Yeah. So you got to think in terms like that, weeks, and then the second pitch is going to be for months.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to – it's going to take a while, like Chris was saying. 3 months, you might have something semi-sour.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have what
you – But you might not.
6 months is better.
Okay.
8 months.
Okay. Let me interrupt for just a sec, and we're going to keep going on this, but we need to – Daniela would like to give an update of where we are –
She looks very excited.
– in our fundraising drive for Linda Stark tonight. So go ahead, Daniela. Oh, let me turn you on the microphone there. Yes, thank you.
As I said, the disclaimer again, I counted those numbers myself on a sheet, but I think they're accurate. I did it three times.
Okay.
Let me just go say you're going pink, baby.
Okay.
We are at $1,200.
Wow. That's it, Bienners. Nice work out there. That's fantastic. Wow.
And that's not even counting the match of H2 of the $500.
Sure.
So that's going to go in the pot. So.
Oh, my.
I am
fantastic.
Just amazed. Hey. $1,200.
That's really great. And keep it up, guys. Like I said, anything $20 and up gets you a prize. And we'll be shipping it out to you courtesy of the Brewing Network and also Beer, Beer, and More Beer. And a donation of any amount, doesn't matter what it is, puts your name in a hat for tonight's drawing of who will be registered to win a Conical. Keep up that good work. That's awesome. It goes to obviously a well-deserved human being and compatriot of brewing. So thank you for all your donations. That's fantastic.
If we get to 2,000, will Doc not floss for a day?
Doc?
I was thinking you need something pierced.
No, I'm all right. That's a good one.
If we get to 2,000,
for you.
If we get to 2,000, this is what happens to JP with no anesthesia.
Yeah.
Will you agree
Prince
to
Albert
that?
Time?
Yes. Where did you get that sound?
I got sounds for everything.
Obviously.
Don't you worry. All right. Let's keep going. We'll take a break in a few minutes, but let's keep going on the lambic that we're talking to Chris Colby from Brew Your Own Magazine. Help us out. So we've pitched our bacteria. We've done both our brewer's yeast and we've waited, and then we've pitched our bacteria 3 or 4 days later. We're waiting for that to ferment out. What else do we have to do to this beer, Chris?
Oh, let's talk about what it looks like during fermentation so people don't freak out.
Oh, why? Is it different than
yeah.
a regular? Okay.
Chris, you want to tell them about that?
Yeah, one thing will happen is, you know, you'll pitch your brewer's yeast, and the fermentation will look sort of normal. But you're going to pitch your, the souring microorganisms, and they're going to start to work. And you can see there's a variety of sort of visually unappealing things that may occur in your wort.
It's a splooge on the top.
Ah, that's visually unappealing.
Yeah, if you ferment in buckets and you take a look in, what will happen... mostly probably due to Brettanomyces, but it can also be due to Acetobacter or other things like that.
Yeah. You'll
eventually, a pellicle will form. This it's just this layer of sort of mossy...
Scum.
It can take, depending on what's growing and the growing conditions, it can take some different forms. It can look sort of like slimy, almost like snot on the top of your thing.
Yeah.
Or it can look sort of like very hairy,
cheesy
like white
looking
fungus-y
stuff.
Thing.
Oh, disgusting. I love it.
You can form what's called rope in your beer. This is usually due to the pediococcus.
Oh.
And you can see it if you do it at a carboy. If you look into it, and it just looks like these little strings of like mucus extending from the top of your beer.
Sounds
down
like
into
STD
it,
day in 6
Yeah, but it's all good.
See, maybe I should leave sour brewing to
others.
It's all
good. It looks horrible, and it looks like you've made something that, you know, the idea that you're going to drink it in the end is just like the farthest thing from your mind. But really, it can be all part of the... all part of the routine.
There's so many people freak on that because it looks nasty.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a kind of a protective layer over the top.
Sure.
The pellicle actually does. It's an oxygen barrier.
My uncle used to keep bread in the fridge that had a protective green layer around the outside.
My mom just said, cut that off.
That's what he did.
Plenty of good bread in there.
I'd go home to my parents and tell them that, and they'd be like, really? He just cut off the edge and gave it to you? And I was like, yeah, it was fine. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Just like the sour beer, it's fine.
And you turned out all right.
Yeah, look how I turned out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Man with pink hair.
See, that kind of grossing me out. Just I don't know if I want to look at it.
Yeah, you,
well,
don't.
You don't necessarily
but you don't,
have
but
to.
The thing That's is, the so thing. Many people are like, they brew one of these, and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then the red flags go up. Oh, I got to pitch this thing out. Oh.
Yeah.
Because it's just not look like a normal beer ferment.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead, please.
Maybe relevant, hopefully. So a lot of guys like to do the secondary fermentation. Well, if you pitch your beer yeast in there, and then you know you have your bugs in there also, you want your bugs to go 3, 6, 9, a year, 2 years, whatever. What do you do about all that brewer's yeast? Are you racking off into a secondary at that point?
No. Here's one of the big keys I found to making a sour beer is the lactic bacteria, especially lactobacillus and pediococcus, are very slow growers, and one of the main reasons for this is they can't synthesize a lot of the amino acids that they need, or they can, but at very low doses. So if you leave, the way to really get a sour fermentation going is to leave it all on the primary fermentation, all the break material, all the yeast and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if this is a scientific fact, but it makes sense to me that the layer of yeast down there, the layer of break material, is going to slowly break down over time. It's going to release amino acids. These amino acids will then become available to the souring microorganisms, and they'll utilize them. And if additionally you're doing it in a bucket and you're getting a slow amount of oxygen,
yeah,
this sort of slow breakdown of the gunk on the bottom of your fermenter plus the slow ingress of oxygen together will stimulate the bacteria.
Don't worry about it. It, because the thing about this show is that scientific facts mean nothing to us.
Yeah.
So
to you.
If it sounds cool, we're like, wow, that's great.
We want cold, hard theory here.
Yeah, exactly. And,
conjecture. All I know, it works.
It works for Chris. It's good.
And I don't know if that's the scientific reason it works.
Yeah.
But, it sounds good.
Yeah, it really does sound good. I'm sold.
So we're halfway there.
Yeah.
Well, it's all about building an environment, and from what it sounds like, that yeast and all the break and all the crap, that's exactly what it does. So
yeah, absolutely.
Right. Why not?
And the third key, along with leaving it on the break material and the dead yeast, and using a bucket so you get some oxygen, a small amount coming into the fermentation. The third key is temperature.
Okay.
All these bacteria grow very well at relatively elevated temperatures. They'll slow down, and some will stop as high as like 60 degrees Fahrenheit. But if you condition your beer, between 70 and 80 degrees Fahrenheit, these bacteria are going to grow very well. They're going to do a good job and sour your beer, reasonably quickly, within 6 months maybe.
Oh, good.
Nice. So,
six
like
months
what
is my
is,
limit, man. That's it.
6 minutes is your limit.
Yeah, but I'll for a good sour, I'll go 6 months. Anything beyond that, forget it. I'm drinking it, good or bad.
Just open the bucket right there.
Yeah, not even gonna bottle it.
Yeah,
just drink from the spout. Pull the rope
actually,
out.
Throw some of that yeast bacteria in your mouth, and then drink the regular beer and hope it sours on the way down.
As long as it's sour, I'm fine. It's all ropey.
You wouldn't
mucus.
You wouldn't believe a beer I made then. Yeah. I made one sour beer a couple years ago.
Yeah,
it actually won. Not to be that guy who brags about.
Oh,
what
go
he
ahead.
Did in homebrew contest. Yeah.
You mean Jamil?
We're all that guy.
Okay. I made a beer a couple years ago that was a blend of a 3-year-old lambic, a 2-year-old lambic, and a 1-year-old lambic, and it turned out really good. It was nice and sour. Had a lot of. I like my lambics like not full of that stinky, all those descriptors that sound terrible.
Yeah, farmhouse.
I think those are.
Goat
pee. I think they sound terrible because they are terrible.
Yeah.
And I like I like the Cantillon version of a lot of those lambics where it's a nice clean sour.
Yeah.
There's just a hint of all that,
Yeah.
Like there's just a hint of barnyard. That's fine. A hint of sulfur. Baby diaper, it's like...
Yeah.
But overall, it's clean
but just
and carved.
Yeah, Philistine, but there's no way you're going to get me to like baby diaper in a beer, no matter at what frequency it's at.
No, that's disgusting.
Well, baby diaper alone would be, nasty.
Call me crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, crazy.
So, the beer turned out good, and it won Best to Show at one of the homebrew inquisitions, and I was, like, psyched.
Yeah.
And, So
Chris likes his...
6 months might be your limit, but if you have the patience...
Yeah.
Good things come to those who wait.
Okay. So I think what we've learned here, folks, is that Chris Colby likes his lambics like he likes his prostitutes. Kind of dirty, but clean as well.
Yeah. Not smelling like baby diaper.
Yeah, like they can't have had baby diaper all over them.
A little barnyard smell, but it's all right.
Yeah, like they could have just cleaned the barn, but they didn't like hang out there all day or anything.
So it's like a pediococcus file.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just point out that we have been saying cock for a good hour
Thank
now?
You, JP. Okay. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay. I got to take a break. Daniela has to use the restroom, and I'm sure our listeners do too. Can you hang in there for another few minutes, Chris?
Oh, definitely.
You sure? I don't want to take up all your time, but I do have more questions in front of me from our listeners for you. So, if you
can
hang,
okay. There's sour beers are very complicated. I mean, we can keep going on this however long you want.
Okay, perfect. Fantastic. Let's do that then. We're going to take a quick break. Cold Hot Crash has joined us in the studio as well, so we're going to be talking to them when we're done talking sour beers here. And I'm going to play one of their songs off the album at the break here, too. I don't know which song yet, but I'll have them decide here in a second, and then we'll announce it when we come back. More sour beers with Chris Colby from Brew Your Own Magazine when we come back, and we'll make sure that you at home know how to do it yourselves. We'll be right back. Hang in there. It's the Brewing Network.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Ivan the Terrible. Yeah, too foreboding. Louis the 16th? Not too popular. Hey, dude, what's up?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to come up with a new name for the Brewing Network Sunday show.
Really?
Yeah. They're accepting entries. You know, from now till December 10th, the five best names will be entered for a chance to win one of the two conicals being given away by Beer, Beer, and More Beer and HCA Industries.
I don't think that's what they mean.
Buster. I had a cat named Buster.
Dude, they're not going to name the Sunday show after your stupid cat.
Roy.
Are you feeling okay?
Jim Bob?
You're mental.
Sally.
Dude, you're supposed to come up with a fun and entertaining way of naming the show, not name the show.
Dipstick, a kraut, and a drunk dentist.
The Brewing Network Comical Christmas Giveaway. Name the show for your chance to win between now and December 10th.
What's the
You're listening to Three Guys.
Excuse me, what about me?
Sorry. You're listening to Three Guys and One Girl. Use the radio show as an excuse to drink more beer. The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Yes, sir, and welcome back to the Brewcast. Daniela, remind me to screen listener-submitted content a little more closely before playing it on the air. That was a Borat versus Dr. Scott compilation put together.
Oh, I missed that.
And sent in by our very own Crotch Rot. And I listened to it, but I had other things going on in the background. Chris, I didn't mean to play that in the middle of your interview. So I was like, what is happening here? But once you play it, you can't bail out, right, JP? I mean, you got to stick to your guns if you...
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with whatever you said.
I'll go ahead and cut that out of the archive.
It's going to be a man.
And a man up. Danielle, how are we doing on our fundraising tonight?
We're doing just fine. Actually, JP and I were just negotiating, and JP is going to do a pink mohawk for $1,700.
If we reach $1,700, which means we're well over 1,000 already, then JP will do a pink mohawk.
Well, all 8 hairs remaining on my head.
Yeah, it's more of a pink...
highlight.
Yeah.
And how do you pick the hairs that get highlighted?
It's a bit of a streak.
I'll pick them.
The
for
one
you,
in
JP.
The middle.
You
probably would too.
And of course, at the break, you heard the band Cold Hot Crash, who's now in the studio with us, and they're going to do a live performance for us a little bit later in the show too. You can check them out at coldhotcrash.com. And while I'm doing the website thing, you can also go to byo.com, www.byo.com, if you want to check out Chris Colby's magazine and figure out what all the buzz is about. And of course, you can subscribe to it via the Brewing Network homepage and just click that big red banner.
Okay, so I just got a couple of questions from people who just tuned in about the fundraiser tonight. Could you just explain briefly again?
Yes, I can. A good friend of the beer industry and just a fine human being in general, Linda Stark, has worked for the Brewers Association for years, and for the past year or so, she's been losing a battle with cancer. And the American medical system has not offered her any more options other than the chemotherapy that's already failed. She did, however, find an experimental therapy that seems to be doing very well for her condition in Germany. The problem is that the U.S. considers it an experimental procedure, and her insurance actually won't cover the treatment. And she, there's 3 treatments that she has to get in total, and they're $15,000 each. And as anybody in the beer business knows, you don't enter the beer business to make it rich. You enter it because you love what you do. And Linda is just a case of that. And so she can't, you know, obviously, like any of the rest of us, afford the $15,000 a piece for 3 treatments. So there's fundraising going on for her all over the place, and we're trying to do the same here tonight. So if you click our donate button, it's right on our main page, thebrewingnetwork.com. Just click the donate button, and every penny that you donate, every bit of it, including the portion that our very own PayPal is going to take out of it, doesn't matter. If you donate $10, $10 is going over to Linda. We're going to write a check to her. We're going to do this week, and we're going to do it again next week. And so far, you guys have been great. Every $20 or above donation tonight receives a gift courtesy of Beer, Beer, and More Beer and the Brewing Network. We got shirts and videos and hats and a lot of stuff to send. So, and we'll have your address.
Pictures of JP naked.
Pictures of JP.
Well, who doesn't have those already?
Yeah, that's not
but
much.
The gift.
We gave that last year at the Super Bowl, remember?
So we'll give you a gift for $20 and over. Now, if you don't have $20, that's fine too, because any denomination will actually get you registered tonight for a chance to win a conical. We're going to put all the names of everybody who donates into a hat. And at the end of the show, we're going to draw one name, and you will be registered to win a conical fermenter courtesy of Beer, Beer, and More Beer and HCA Industries. Already, HCA Industries tonight has matched $500 of your donations, and we're up in the, $1,200 range or more.
Just from the listeners.
Just from the listeners.
Wow.
So you guys are doing fantastic. Please keep it up. It's a donate button right on our main page,
right.
And you can click that, and we're going to going to send a check for the entire amount to Linda Stark, and,
exactly.
And that way she can do this. If you want more information about Linda, you can go to brookston.org/beer, and it's a fantastic beer blog in general, but he's also keeping an update about Linda Stark right there on his main page, so you're going to want to check that out. Okay?
Definitely. And the milestone of $1,000 made you dye your hair.
Yeah,
I'm
dyeing some hair pink.
Where? We've determined that?
Whatever.
I determined it's going to be the eyebrows, the beard, and my intimate hair.
My intimate hair.
I really want to see that.
And Bub is going to shave his head.
Yeah.
And if we reach $1,700 tonight, then JP is going to dye a pink mohawk.
Right.
Into his head.
Yes.
So
keep giving.
We're being highly productive here.
Yeah.
In dyeing.
Hey, we're doing our part.
For a good cause. And we really, Linda needs your help. So please, dig deep or dig shallow, whatever you can do, and help Linda. That's the main thing. Do some digging. Okay. We've got Chris Colby on the air with us, and he's the editor of Brew Your Own Magazine, has been for a few years now, and a heck of a home brewer himself, and he's helping us with sour beers. And I got to take this phone call, too.
You've been wanting to talk to this person for a long time now.
No, I just, everybody hates it when we interrupt the discussion. Let's talk to him real quick. Now, because I got to do a whole, damn it. Hey, Milton, are you there?
Yeah, this is Milt.
Hey, Milt.
How are you, Milt?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Now, here's, all right, I'll do a real, God, I got to do this quickly. Milt.
No, I got a question for you.
All right, go ahead.
I thought the whole point of homebrewing was so you didn't have to drink sour beer there.
No, it's so that you don't have to drink bad beer, Milt. But just because it's sour doesn't mean it's bad.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, Milt and his brother Mort are a couple of our new users, and I'm actually convinced that they're not even real people.
No, they're the same people.
They're the same person. Milt, where are you from?
North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Yes, sir.
And you're a real person, huh?
Well, you're talking to me, aren't
you? It's a recording.
Yeah. You just never know with our listeners, man.
Some AI software that somebody wrote.
You never do know.
I think he's thinking the persona is bigger than the person.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, come on.
Well, Milt, here's the deal. You just got into home brewing, so you might not be ready for the sour beers yet, but the good news is that you need to know about them. You need to know they're there, because one of these days, someone's going to hand you a stinky, sour beer, and it's going to be one of the best things you've ever drank.
Well, I'm going to have to see that to believe it.
It's true, and I had said the same thing when I first was given mine, and I'll tell you, I love it. It's the taste of feet isn't always bad. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but I'm still going to take your word on that for a while.
You and Eddie Murphy have things in common now. I want you to know that.
All right, Milt.
Yeah, I just wanted to call you. I just wanted to also let you know that I was on the chat room a little while ago, and I saw where Bub was going to shave something else maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that's disgusting. We don't want to know about that.
Well, you got to take that up with Bub.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and we will. Milt, I could go on for an hour about you and your brother, but I got Chris Colby here, and we got to get through these sour beers. So
okay,
you keep listening, and thank you for finding us. And I really would like to talk to you on the air again someday.
Well, maybe I can get more done at the same time, so you know that we're two different people.
That would help.
That's the only way I'm going to believe it.
Yeah, we're still not too sure about you two.
Well. We're not too sure about you guys. What we do on the site there, I'll talk about, you know.
Good answer.
Fair enough.
We're not going to go there.
All right, Milt. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right, you too. Take care.
Okay, bye.
All right. If you don't know what we're talking about, check out the Brewing Network forum and look through the user profiles. And
Milt and Mort.
You'll find Milt and Mort. They're brothers in crime, and they're just too good to be true. And I couldn't even go into the whole thing.
I think they bag on each other more than they bag on us.
Yeah, it's just a whole other show. All right, Chris, let's move on with the beer here. We've gotten through, I think, our fermentation process. I wanted to back us up a second because I had a question come through about the hops in a lambic. People want to know how they should hop their lambic, and it's a bit different than your regular beer.
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting part about lambics is that they're not at all bitter, but they're highly hopped. And the way that this way they do this is that lambic brewers, they use aged hops. They they get their bales of hops and they actually just like throw them up in their attic for couple of years, 3 years, something like that, until the alpha acid levels have gone way down. But the some of the other properties of the beer, or I'm sorry, some of the other properties of the hops are still there.
Okay.
Ironically, some of the properties are antibacterial, and it's thought that the hops sort of knock down maybe some of the less desirable bacteria, whereas some of the more desirable bacteria are less affected by them.
Okay.
So
it's that preservative nature of the hops almost.
As homebrewers, a lot of you can take multiple tacks. One is to just lightly hop your beer.
Okay.
You know, you can skip the whole idea of aging your hops for years. Or other people, you know, if you if you're like me and you know you end up with a little bit extra hops every year that you don't seem to use, you know, I just sort of throw them in a you know bin or whatever and let them sit, and then you know, a few years goes by and suddenly, you have a little stock of hop pellets there that are, you know, old, and but if they've been, refrigerated or frozen the whole time,
yeah,
you can just smell them, and as long as they don't smell, you know, like stale or cheesy or off,
yeah,
they're probably fine.
Okay.
And then you sort of have to guess at what the alpha acid level is after all those years, and you know, you definitely want to shoot for not getting your lambics too bitter. You know, you really don't want to detect any of that.
Okay.
But, you know, you can, a good thing, I usually figure after 3 or 4 years in the freezer that probably they're at a quarter of the level of alphas.
Yeah, I got a lot of those. I got so much of that.
Yeah, me too.
I've got stuff in the freezer, and I date them when I got some left over, and I put them in a Ziploc, throw them in the freezer, and they dated back to, 2002.
So 3 to 4 years is losing about a quarter of the alpha acid.
Or down to a quarter.
Or down to a quarter.
Yeah, it really depends on, different varieties of hops lose alphas at different rates.
Okay.
And the storage rate, or the storage conditions do a lot for it. If you keep it in a frost-free freezer, they're going to go down a lot faster because it stays frost-free by intermittently heating. If you stayed in a non-frost-free freezer, one where your frost actually does build up, it's going to stay longer because, it's constantly cold temperatures. And, that's just sort of my rough estimate, and it might be wildly off for certain types of hops and storage conditions or whatever, but I've used it, and it tends to work for, if you're brewing a lambic at my house from hops from my freezer, it works out really good.
Ah, very nice.
But if you don't have access to my freezer, then...
I expect keys with every issue of BYO from now on.
That's right. The address.
Yeah,
and
if you guys want to stop by and take some hops from my freezer at any time,
yeah,
you know, just knock on the door.
Just gonna have random Texans. Hey, Chris, just checking out your freezer.
Chris. Just here for some hops.
Yeah.
All right, back there.
A question has come through from the chat room. They want to know if anyone ever dry hops their lambic. Is that a desirable trait? Do you know of anybody who does that?
I've never heard of that. I mean, it's not a thing that you would do for a traditional style lambic, and okay. I'm thinking it would taste kind of funny.
Yeah,
but then again, maybe someone should try it and find out how it goes.
Give it
might
go.
Be good in your competition though. Out of style, whatever. But it's the good beer.
But if it's good,
right?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, if it tastes good, great. It's not traditional, but then again, one of the great freedoms of being a home brewer is you you don't have to care about that unless you want to. You can try whatever you want.
Yeah, that's right.
It'd be interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, generally sourness and bitterness, dry hopping doesn't give you any bitterness. It gives you that.
Yeah, just the, but it gives you, Jamil has always said to everybody and that any hop addition, it'll at least give you like a perception of bitterness too.
Right.
So
You smell the aromas and the flavors, and sort of whatever bitterness is there is enhanced.
Yeah, yeah. So any hops use, you are getting some of that, and I can agree with that too. I've dry hopped some beers and found that even though I guess I wasn't adding IBUs, it certainly gives me the impression of a bitter beer.
Although I think about it, Orval is dry hopped. The Trappist ale, sour. They use Brettanomyces, and it's not overpoweringly dry hopped. Yeah. You know, if I hadn't read about it, I never would have guessed it. But they do dry hop their beer.
Okay, there you go.
So
somebody's doing it.
Yeah.
All right.
Give it a try is what I'd say. I mean, I think some of the greatest, discoveries in homebrewing have been just, you know, somebody like, I've got this beer.
Yeah.
What if I try this, you know?
That's what I, you know, tell Daniela every time I'm brewing is, hey, you know, some of the greatest beers that have ever come have, you know,
screwed up and made good beer.
I've sat in a carboy for 12 weeks. It's fine.
Yeah.
Now, Daniela is very precise. She wants it done this way, because she knows it's going to be right.
Me, I'm using my socks as hop bags.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
Dirty ones, too.
That would be good for a sour, yeah.
Yeah, my word.
Pediatricus.
All right, so where are we in our beer with you, Chris? So we've gone through, you know, we've said to go ahead and wait the 6 months. At no point so far have we added a sugar back in the form of fruit or anything else. Is that something that we don't need to do, or?
Well, a lot of lambic styles or, you know, there are a lot of different styles of lambics that include added fruit.
Okay.
And that's certainly something you can do.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean it's really easy to do. I mean, basically all you need to do is take fresh fruit, take like a potato masher or whatever, you mash it all up. I usually do it in a sanitized bucket, because I mean one weird thing. Even though I'm adding bacteria to my beer and doing all that, I still clean and sanitize everything when I do a lambic, just because I want to add the bacteria and stuff that I want to add. I don't want just any random, microorganism in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll throw, like, the raspberries in a sanitized bucket, take a manual potato masher, mash them all up, and then dump them into the main bucket. And, you can add cherries, you can add raspberries.
Okay.
I mean, recently, a lot of lambic brewers are doing all sorts of different fruits, pineapples and peaches, and, you know, you can add pretty much whatever you want. And, you know, when you do that, you're gonna wake up the fermentation a little bit, because you're gonna add a lot of sugars, you know, or relatively a lot of sugars. And, you know, the brewer's yeast is gonna wake up at that point and utilize most of them. And,
Do we have to be concerned about sugar being left behind, you know, compared to how much fruit we put in or anything like that?
No, it's all going to get utilized by something.
Okay, great.
Something's going to eat it all.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter. One thing you got to worry about a little bit is which fruit you add and how much acid content it's going to add to the finished beer.
Okay.
So certain kinds of fruit are going to give a more acid content, which is what you want. It helps round it out.
Okay.
And not have such a flat beer.
But others that aren't, you know, citrus fruits and with a lot of acid.
Or that, or cherries have a lot of acid. Strawberries don't.
Okay.
Strawberries kind of come through a little weak.
Okay. So you'd want to add more of those? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, you need to add a lot. If you're doing a strawberry beer, you need to add a lot.
Okay. Tons. Okay.
Yeah, they're not that strongly flavored. Raspberries are a great fruit for sour and non-sour styles. I mean, you don't need to add that many. They're strongly flavored. They're really good. And Frambois, obviously, is a style of lambic that does well.
Yep.
Cherries do good.
Somebody had actually asked that question if the framboise is a lambic, and it is.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, but you don't have to do the fruit bit. So what we could have done is stopped, you know, your example of a recipe, you know, where you said at 6 months, of course, you could let it go for a year, too. But after adding that bacteria, essentially, other than time, you're done?
You can be.
Okay.
There's another very interesting option that comes in a lot of sour beer brewing, and that's blending.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things about sour beers is that, you know, it's kind of experimental. Every batch you do is a little bit different. When you've got multiple strains in a fermentation, some can take, you know, more of a role than others. But the downside of that is that Your product is very variable. You know, every bucket of sour beer you make, even if you follow the same, you know, same exact guidelines, is going to turn out a little bit different. And, you know, what commercial brewers do, commercial lambic producers, is, you know, they've got a cellar full of barrels or whatever, and, you know, they go through and taste them all and note, you know, this one's got a little bit more acetic than the others, this one's got a little bit more barnyard, this one's got... and you know, and they eventually blend the beer into something that, you know, Lambics, they don't produce, you know, a consistent product in the sense that, you know, Cantillon, you know, to pick one example, doesn't taste the same year after year after year.
Yeah.
But there's the definite house character to it. You know, it doesn't stray too far from a central, you know, sort of mean,
yeah,
or whatever.
And you can really see that with any brand, you know, they have that house flavor.
Yeah. And so, you know, one thing you can do, you know, obviously if you've made a single bucket of beer, you don't have the option to blend it with anything, but a lot of sour beer brewers will, you know, sort of keep production up, you know, given that it takes a long time. You don't want to, you know, brew one beer, then wait forever, and then start the next beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might brew one early in the year, and then, you know, 6 months later, you might brew another one, and then towards the end of the year, brew another one. And then, so, you know, eventually a lot of sour beer brewers end up with, you know, you just have this variety of buckets sitting around, and, you know, they're all going to have a slightly different character to them, or, you know, maybe a wildly different character to all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take a little samples, do some little, you know, test blends until you find a, you know, proportion you like. You know, you can blend it out.
Yeah. See, I like that, too. I mean, you got to have the three, you know, different versions around your house, but it really is that. It's, to me, it's kind of the epitome of homebrew experimentation too, is to be able to blend these things together and figure out a good one. You know?
And if you, you know, you get into it, you find you like it, that's something that's definitely going to be an option for you.
Yeah.
You know, is to have a bunch of stuff. We have a couple good local customers who come in and do that. Brad Allen's one of them. Weasel.
Okay.
Yeah. He's that's what he does, and he, you know, does a whole thing, and it's his beers are really good, but he has that option if something's a little, you know, he could tweak it out by adding a little bit, you know, a little bit of something else. So
okay,
yeah. Another thing is, if you have, I mean, we haven't done this in my club, but I mean, we do have a number of sour beer brewers in my club, and I mean, one thing that I've been thinking about is you could easily, you know, have a brew day where you arrange for, you know, everyone in your club or everyone, you know, who wants to participate in this, you know, brews, you know, say two buckets of sour beer. And then, you know, at some point you could get together, have like a party where everyone brings like a bucket of their sour beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, and an empty bucket, and you sort of take a sample of everyone's sour beer and say, you know, can I have a gallon of yours? And, you know, come home with a, you know, a blended bucket of you know, sour beer,
that's,
and then, you know,
idea.
You blend that into yours, and yeah, that's one thing I've been thinking about, because I've got in my club there's several guys who for some reason sour beers are big in Texas. I don't know what it is, but
okay, that's my kind of party you're talking about right there.
It would be fun too.
Bucket of sour, you know, everyone just brings a little bit. That's fantastic. That's a great
idea. Bucket of rotted beer to a party. And,
yeah.
Got my beer right here.
You know, in a lot of other circles, you'd be shot. Whereas,
don't mind the pellicle.
In our circle, it's, well, thank you. Wow, thanks for coming with that stinky beer.
Yeah, that is the best looking, layer of snot I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Beer. Can I have some of that?
Yeah,
your
exactly.
Rope is huge.
Oh, what a bunch of freaks us brewers are. I got to say that right now. That's a good idea. That's really a good idea. All right.
Yeah, I think it would be a great idea. I mean, if you're in any club that has even, you know, a couple sour beer fans, it could be, you know, you can easily, because one thing also I'm on the lookout for is just a good sour culture. Like this one year I made like 10 gallons of Berliner Weiss, and I made it with the idea a couple months ahead of time I was going to Berliner Weiss sours. More quickly, because you build up a culture and pitch it. And the idea was I was going to bring it to the Zealots picnic. And so I made the starter, and the starter never really kicked off as much as I wanted. And I made the beer and pitched it, and it, you know, it got sort of sour. You know, I mean, a real irony of sour beer brewing is, like, in normal brewing, you do everything you can to stop these organisms from growing in your beer.
Yeah.
And if you get even the tiniest amount, your beer's wrecked. But then in a sour beer, you're trying to grow them, and you can't.
Yeah.
You know, they'll grow to that point where if it was a normal beer, it's not good. But then they sort of, they can sort of crap out.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because even in buying commercial beers, to me, the biggest failure in a sour beer is if it's just kind of, if it's sort of sour.
Yeah.
And I'm so disappointed. I'm like, oh, this is,
bummer.
Yeah, what a drag. Cause you're right. You really want that true sour quality. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
it's
that's
so opposite.
Punch in the face sourness. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You want, I equated it to this, I think, on one of the shows where you take a drink and your face and your expression and your voice all says awful. It all goes, oh, that's great.
Yeah, like, yeah, but you're laying down some bucks to get another one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everything, your first impression is an awful expression, but that's what you want. Yeah.
It's like how far your testicles retract.
That's how you know. Yeah. a good point that if it's just not sour enough. I see. So you're looking for the right strain that you can trust.
Right, and that year I ended up drinking one of the kegs of sour beer, even though it wasn't sour enough. But a couple weeks before the picnic, I was cleaning out all these random kegs, and you know, I ended up having, I don't know, like 8 or 9 kegs of just, you know, 2 or 3 gallons left, and I happened to open one, and you know, it just smelled like sour, and so I was like, oh, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I tasted a little bit of it, and luckily enough, I hadn't labeled the keg, so I don't know what the beer was supposed to be, but it was some like amber beer, and it was just sour. It was just like incredibly, incredibly, incredibly sour, but very clean. There was no funk with it. There was no weird stuff.
Okay.
So I had like 4 gallons left of that one keg. I just pulled it out. I dumped the remaining sour beer that I pulled out of that random keg into the Berliner Weiss keg. Let that sit at, I don't know, like 90 degrees or something, for a couple weeks before the picnic, carbonated it up, tested it, and it was great.
That just sounds wrong. I'm sitting here with this cringing over here, man.
It does.
I picture one dirty keg to the next dirty keg.
Hang on for 90 degrees.
I had to roll it around in my trunk and drove it around in Texas for a couple of days.
And I'm thinking like, wow, it sounds great.
Yeah. I'm just going, no.
But it came out good, huh?
Yeah, and I mean, my point is, sour beer brewers, you know, you should take failed normal beers and evaluate them on the you know, basis of, well, okay, you know, maybe this is a screwed up pale ale, but how is the sourness?
Yeah.
Can I culture this? You know, can I pitch, you know, 12 ounces of this to my next sour beer fermentation? Is it going to work?
Yeah.
You know, because you can, you know, different strains, if something grows in your brewery and produces a phenomenal sourness.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason to say, well, it was supposed to be a pale ale, so I'm going to pour it out. You know, you could say, well, I'm going to pour out, you know, 4.5 gallons of this, but, you know, maybe I'll keep a little bit of it.
Sure.
You know.
Check the profile.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here right now and say that Chris's glass is half full. I mean, he's got a sour, disgusting batch of amber ale, and he's going, I wonder if I can culture that.
That'd be good in my sour beer.
Yeah, I like that. That's actually a great way to look at things as a home brewer who brews every style, you know.
Is that going to be the new analogy of the Brewing Network? It's like a keg of beer that's not quite sour, and you find this other keg that is ideally what you want, and you mix them, and you wait.
Yeah, and you wait.
And there's the fruition of what you want.
And we're still waiting here at the Brewing Network for the fruition. But I do like the analogy, yes. All right, good advice. We got to wrap it up. I've got some questions that came through, some just kind of random questions about the topic. Can I throw those at you, Chris?
Yeah, just fire away.
Okay, here we go. Does adding a large percent of sour malt count as making a sour beer?
It can. There are some kinds of sour malt that have a lot of a sourness to them.
Uh-huh.
And you can definitely add enough to make a beer. You don't get an incredible bitter, or not bitter, but an incredible sourness like with, you know, letting the microorganisms go, but you can add, you know, you can use sour malt, you can sour either all or part of your mash, or you can even add acids at the end. You know, your homebrew store probably sells lactic acid,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, winemaking stores sell, you know, malic acid, citric acid, or whatever.
Okay.
So yeah, you can use things like that to add acidity to a beer.
Are those acids only used in the mash?
No, you could use them at the end.
You can,
you can,
okay.
Use them, yeah.
A lot of times when people are brewing a Berliner Weiss, that's what they do. They'll instead of going the whole bacteria route,
yeah,
they'll use lactic acid at the end.
At the end, okay.
It's not quite the same.
Okay.
But you can get close.
Yeah, it does a pretty good job. I mean, the difference between one where you've doctored it with some acid and one where you've let the microorganisms run their course is that, you know, once the microorganisms have run the course, your beer is very dry.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just add it to a beer as acid, there's still going to be some sweetness.
Okay.
You know, which can be a good thing. Sweet and sour together work very good. Yeah. You know, it's just not a traditional style of the beer.
Okay.
Well, if you use the sour malt, isn't that more of like a tart character rather than a what we'd call like a sourness?
Yeah, the malt is they've grown it and they've let it. I forget at which step, but there's lactobacillus in the water that they're living in, and you know there's this sort of a coating of acid on the outside of it, essentially. So it's unless you add a ton of it. You're not going to get a full on sour. You would have to use almost entirely whole mash of it to get like a lambic sourness. But you can definitely add enough eventually to get that taste in it. And there's interestingly enough, there's a couple different brands out there of sour malt, and the level of sourness they impart is like wildly different. And I forget which one is which. There's one that gives quite a bit, and there's another that is much less sour. And I forget which brand is which.
Okay, we can check that out.
But yeah, so you got to know. I mean, if you're planning on adding a lot of one version to get some sourness, you're going to want to make sure that it's the one that's really really has a lot of that acid in it.
Okay. Someone has sent in a question. Wants to know if you've ever done a Kentucky sour. Which they're saying it's a sour mash beer.
No, I've never tried that. Yeah, a Kentucky common beer or whatever.
Yeah,
Things I've only ever read about. The idea is you pretty much sour your entire mash and then make a beer out of it that way.
Okay.
I have had a couple in my club. Dan and Joel Dewberry did a sort of Berliner Weiss with that method. They let the mash sit overnight and then made it, and it worked. It made a very sour beer, but it had some. There was some pretty strong funk to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, kind of an acquired taste. Either you liked it or you didn't.
Okay. Someone has asked, how is an unwanted lacto infection different than actually infusing lacto? And they're using the example as a Flanders Red. So what's the difference between an unwanted lacto infection and infusing it? You guys know anything about that?
I mean, if you're...
I think it has to do with what the base beer is, too. Like you said,
yeah,
you've got a bad pale that's lactic.
Yeah.
That's not what you want.
Right.
Yeah, I when I go judge at a homebrew contest, a lot of times I'll ask for the, to judge sour beers and the lambics and stuff like that. And a lot of times that they're very happy with that because... A lot of people don't want to judge that.
Yeah,
and you get a fair amount of beers that you have to think that they didn't start out planning to make a sour beer, but their beer turned crappy, and they entered it thinking that it would be a good lambic.
Yep.
And the thing is, just good beers or normal beers that have gone bad really aren't good sour beers. You have to plan to make a sour beer.
Yeah.
And if that's what they're asking, what's the difference between say a Rodenbach Red and just, an American Amber Ale that I didn't clean my fermenter very well. And the difference is that the guys at Rodenbach had planned in advance that their beer was going to turn out sour.
Right.
And, they've done the sort of things to grow the microorganisms that are going to sour the beer, to enough of an extent that sour becomes the dominating, character of the beer. It's not just enough to wreck the beer. If that's what the question is getting at,
and the age hops all come into play,
right?
With the right IBUs and things for,
although in a Rodenbach in like a Flanders Red they use fresh hops, just a little bit of them.
Okay,
but it's not going to be like if you had a hoppy amber that got sour.
No, you're not going to. I mean, sourness and bitterness those are just two things that don't go together well.
Well, it goes back to building that base. You know, if you don't have the right base for something, and you have that bacteria introduced, no matter what, you know, what you're trying to do, it
won't help.
It's going to throw things off. Yeah, you need to build it and grow it treat it like a separate, in my opinion, yep. I guess, treat it like a separate entity that's in your beer, not just a secondary thing.
Okay.
Yeah, very very few sort of just normal beers gone bad can ever be a decent sour beer.
The judges will know.
You know.
Damn it.
Yeah, the judges.
I'm out.
Yeah, your whole metal career, Justin.
I'm out.
Flushed down the toilet.
Because here I am thinking, I can keep doing these terrible beers, but just throw a bunch of bacteria in there.
I don't need to clean. I will dominate Lambic.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm telling you, for the last couple weeks, I kept thinking, if there's anything I can be good at, it's going to be the sour beers. I'm going to be the sour beer king.
Yeah, Jamil, watch out. Your one category is mine.
And now you're thinking, oh, it's too much work.
Yeah. Now I got to wait too long, and I have to start with a good beer. You're shattering my dreams, Chris Colby. Damn
That's
you.
What I'm here for.
Yeah. Thank you. All right.
Fit right in.
Last question, and JP, you might be able to help with this too. Any one of you can answer this, because someone wanted to know where they can get pre-aged hops. Is that possible? Does anybody sell pre-aged hops? Any of the homebrew stores or anything?
Yes.
I thought Hop Union did. I'm not sure, though. And at homebrew quantities, I don't know about that.
Some
people try to age their hops by putting them in the oven for a certain amount of time. I've never tried that, and I don't know how that works out. I've just heard it.
I think that would make your house smell like the cousin, if you ask me.
I mean, I would just say it would be better just to add a small amount of fresh hops than to try it. If you don't have any that, you know, have just built up in your freezer for a couple of years, I would probably just go ahead and add a small amount of fresh hops.
Yeah, at More Beer we have them. They're 10 years aged German Hallertauer.
Oh, fantastic!
Aged in from Hop Union in their refrigerator in their big, you know, huge refrigerator warehouse, and they smell really, really nice.
Okay,
but yeah, other than that,
see who's got some sitting around their freezer.
Yeah, but like Chris said, there's differences between just old nasty hops and quality aged hops. You know, you don't just want
definitely.
Some funk that some dude wants to get rid of.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, old hops that have gone bad, there's a very distinct cheesy smell they get, and you don't want to use that. But hops can age very nicely, and they lose alphas, but they still have a nice, it's not a fresh smell exactly, but it's still a nice, like you could imagine in beer that it would be good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Morebeer.com, you can buy from there,
mm-hmm.
or you can find some properly aged hops yourself and let your nose do the picking for you. You know, if it's too cheesy, like Chris says, then you might want to avoid that.
Because it'll come through in your beer.
You also might have gotten it from the wrong drawer.
Yes.
You never know.
It'll take away from the baby diaper.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You need a good balance of both.
Yeah,
you don't want the cheese taken away from the baby diaper. Terrible.
All right. Well, Chris, I can't thank you enough for spending all this time with us and teaching us about sour beers. I know that you're also a big fan of the dry stouts.
Oh, man, I love dry stouts.
Now, I wouldn't mind having you back sometime to talk to us about those, too. So
I'd love to come on and talk about dry stouts.
Okay, fantastic. Let's do that. And I'll tell you what, if you're ever in the California region, which happens to be a big region.
Yeah, which is really small, right?
We'd love to have you in the studio. Yeah, it's a state, but we prefer to call ourselves a region.
The more important part is Northern California.
Yeah. We're almost a country.
But it's called an area, the Bay Area.
It's the area. We're our own area.
Yeah.
What a bunch of retards we are, California. We can't just
be
a state.
What area are you from? Oh, the Bay.
The Bay Area. Love to have you in the studio. And, I think we should plan on doing a dry stout show with you. I think it'd be fantastic. BYO.com is the place you guys want to go if you don't know anything about Brew Your Own magazine.
Yeah.
If you already do know about it and you're not a subscriber, please do. It's a great magazine, and if you do it through the Brewing Network website, they help us out for helping them out, and it's a pretty good partnership, and everybody benefits. We all get to keep doing what we're doing so that we can help you brew at home, and that's what it's all about. So
the whole cycle.
Not only thanks for doing the show, Chris, man, thanks for the work you do. It's really a fantastic magazine.
Oh, I'm glad you guys like it.
Oh, yeah.
It's it's definitely at the top of the list there. It's kind of the premier homebrew magazine. I mean,
works for me.
You know, it's it comes out the most often, right? You guys do more issues than any other magazine in brewing, right?
Yeah, we do 8 issues a year, and we're the only magazine I know that's entirely devoted to homebrewing.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Zymergy is homebrewing and beer appreciation both.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're, you know, unless there's some magazine I don't know about, we're the only one that our sole focus is homebrewing.
It's homebrewing. And we appreciate it. There's a lot of good articles in there. And don't forget, Jamil Zanishev is going to start writing for each issue as well.
Yeah, pretty soon he's going to have his own magazine.
Yeah. Jamil. It'll just be called Jamil.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to have
just Jay.
Yeah. Photoshop examples of, you know, examples of his Photoshop handiwork in there, too.
It could be that. I think Jamil should actually lose the last name and just become, like, the share of brewing.
Yeah.
And he should just be Jamil from now on, you know, or Pope, whatever.
That one-word name guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Donovan or...
Change his last name to something spectacular, you know, like Firework or something.
Or just Jamil Jamil.
Jamil Jamil. Yeah.
No, he's a doo-wop song from the 50s.
All right, Chris. Hey, what can we look forward to in the issue that's about to come out of BYO? Anything good you want to tell us about?
Yeah. Well, actually, we've got an article on Flanders Red, which was a sour style.
Oh,
that's coming up.
Beautiful.
Let's see. There's an article about basically how BJCP judges go about judging beer.
Oh, cool.
Great.
Yeah. And a couple other things. I actually, for this one issue, wrote the style profile column, and it's on everybody's favorite style, American Pilsner.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm sure I'll get mail about that. Well, why are you writing about that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Somebody has to.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I'll take the dirty
we've covered
deed.
Styles. Yeah, we've covered styles down to, like, you know, salty beers and, you know,
stone beers.
German, yeah, stone beers.
Yeah.
You know, obscure styles brewed once a year in one German town, and it's like,
yeah.
Okay, I guess we can finally cover American Pilsner.
You finally answer that question. Can I brew a beer like Budweiser?
Yes.
Yes, you can, and here's how.
You can, but it's available at the store for cheap.
Yes.
So why do it? All right, so check out the latest edition of BYO. It comes out in just a few days, right?
Yeah, it's actually it's probably en route to all our subscribers right now.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure when it arrives, but it's out of the printer at least, so
okay.
It's a matter of days.
Matter of days. It's coming out. If you haven't checked it out, please do. It's really a great magazine. And Chris, thanks again for spending all this time with us today.
Yeah,
we really appreciate it.
Nice.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. It's been fun.
Okay. We'll do it again.
Excellent. We'll do dry stouts.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. You have a good night.
Good night, y'all.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
A good dude spending a good amount of time with us, and
yeah, that was great.
We appreciate that. So, look, lambics and sour beers, it's a complicated topic. It's hard to even be fluid about it. There's so many questions. Yeah. So, tell you what, we might end up doing another one of those.
Yeah, this definitely won't be the last sour beer show.
All right, we are going to have to take a quick break. All right, fear not, everybody. When we come back, we're going to be doing our giveaway. All right, we're going to let you register to win a Conical. There's two ways to do it tonight. One way was to donate, and please keep donating. We're going to put all the names in the hat here toward the very end of the show and draw a name. The other way is this fun contest. It's going to be a Guess This Sound contest, and we're going to play you some weird sound, and you're going to have to tell us what it is when we come back. So we're going to do that, too.
You want the latest number of where we're at?
Yeah, how are we doing on the donations?
$1,400.
Wow. $300 shy of you having a pink mohawk, JP.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey.
$300 to go. That's my goal for tonight.
Hey, great work, everybody. That's really fantastic. Yeah. I'm glad that you're showing your support.
JP
like that.
Sporting a pink mohawk.
It's important. You're all being good human beings out there, and
that's
I like
true.
To see that.
Deposit in the karma bank.
Speaking of good human beings, when we come back, not only are we doing our registration, but the band Cold Hot Crash will be performing live in the Brewing Network studios. Hang in there. Be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Somewhere in Bandurma, Turkey,
damn Abacast stream. Haha, that Bob.
Kellebec, what you do?
Oh, hello, Diogo. I am in Brewing Network chat room trying to win Conical Fermenter.
Brewing Network? Aren't that American pigs we hack into did you say Conical Fermenter?
Yes. 12-gallon stainless steel from Beer Beer and More Beer. Oh, and second one from HCA Industries.
How you win?
Four ways to win. Listen to live show, participate in chat, listen to archive, and submit name of Sunday live show. Last day to qualify is December 10th.
Why you don't just hack homepage again?
Our website's still broken from last reprisal. Now, I just win Conical and call it even.
Good idea.
The Brewing Network Conical Christmas Giveaway, sponsored by morebeer.com and hcaind.com. Don't miss your chance to qualify to win, only from the Brewing Network.
Well, beer, we've had some great times. When I was 17, I drank some very good beer. I drank some very good beer I purchased with a fake ID. My name was Brian McKee. I stayed up listening to Queen when I was 17.
Fix that door.
You better get out of my general store.
You sold me one, you can sell me one more.
Well, I ain't gonna sell you no beer no more.
See, I too drunk to think about it. Might as well try. I'm a pretty lady, then they're giving me the eye.
But I told you once, I told you twice. Drinking and driving is a bad man vice.
Left, left, right. And a right, right, left. Ooh.
You can go out for a while, but don't be late.
Well, we're going driving on the interstate.
You can take my car, just close the gate.
Hey,
too drunk to think about it. Might as well try. There's a million pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye.
Boys be boys, men be men. Know what you did, so don't do it again.
Gonna do it again. Gonna do it again. Breaking and running. driving in the Batman's fight.
Welcome back to the Brewcast. You're tuned to the Brewing Network, where we will be giving away two Conical Fermenters in the Brewing Network's first ever Conical Christmas. That's going to happen next Sunday right here on the Brewing Network. We're registering two people today, plus one podcaster after the show, and we'll tell you how to do that a little bit later in the show, too. But we got to do our contest for the day. There's two ways to register today. The first way is if you have been listening the whole show, we're accepting donations for Linda Stark, who is battling cancer and needs help with some treatment that she's getting, and you can find out all about that at brookston.org/beer, and it's a great beer blog, and he's got an update on Linda there, and she's been working for the Brewers Association for years. So any denomination of donation that you've made today will put your name in a hat, and we're going to draw one name tonight, and that will be one registrant for the week. The other way is this game that we're about to play, where you're going to get to guess the sound that we're playing, and you're just going to have to call 888-401-BEER, or you can Skype us, but I will tell you that your best bet will probably be the telephone. 888-401-BEER. The first person to guess the sound correctly will be registered to win a Conical. Now, as we're starting to do that, let me introduce our guests for the rest of the show. It's a local San Francisco band, Cold Hot Crash. How you doing, fellas?
Good.
Great.
Awesome.
And get all your microphones turned up here. Are you guys going to do a little live performance for us a little later?
Yes, sir.
A few minutes? Yes. You can go to coldhotcrash.com and check out the website, or you can go to myspace.com/coldhotcrash, and you can download songs there to do it, and probably find weird pictures of the band. How do you guys hide the enormous size of the bass player's nose when you do publicity pictures?
Photoshop.
I mean, that thing is ridiculous.
That is a big nose.
It's Photoshop 2006.
Yeah. Photoshop Ultra.
We also paint some hair on top and stuff like that. And
whatever you...
Wow.
I mean, something. I mean, the guy, like, if you turn on stage, you're poking people. I don't know what happens with that thing.
Yeah, the thing is, nobody gives a shit about the bass player. Nobody knows anything. It's like in any other band.
Yeah, they're all looking at Mick, the singer, anyway, and who cares about the nose of the other guy?
I chose bass for the same reason you chose radio. Nobody gives a shit what we look like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. An excellent point, Schumann, the bass player, makes. So we're going to get a little performance out of Cold Hot Crash here in just a few minutes. Now, Daniela, I know this is one of your favorite games of all time to play.
It might be the favorite game ever.
Ever. Doc, I want you to guess our first sound just to warm people up.
All right, we'll give it a try. it's a high speed, a 430 Larry's.
That's the model, even.
Yeah. He's a little off his game because he's used to hear people screaming in the background.
Yeah.
That
so, JP, let me do it again. Maybe you can help him. Harry, let's try once more. Now you got it, right, Doc?
Okay.
It's the
sounds a little more familiar.
Yeah.
Can anybody spurt blood on me, too?
Okay, 888-401-BEER is the number. I got to take this call first?
Yeah, because the line is busy.
Oh, good point. An excellent point, Daniela.
Thank you.
That's why you're here.
That's why I have a brain.
Hobgoblin's on the line with us, and Hobgoblin sent us a fantastic gift that we've been enjoying throughout the show. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing pretty well.
And you sent us some beer bread.
Beer bread.
Man, do I like beer bread.
Wasn't that good? It was the first one.
Is it your first?
That was my first beer bread. I was I bottled some triple earlier this week, and there was such a beautiful ring of yeast scum around the top of the fermenter that I decided to see if I could get some beer bread to rise from it, and it worked.
Oh, so you actually use the yeast scum to make the bread rise?
Yeah, I just you know, basically pitched the flour onto the cake.
Yeah.
And then I had a bag of crushed grain from a beer I was going to do that I didn't do, and I chucked about half of that in it. So that's actually, you know, malt and stuff. The crunchies are real beer malt. So.
Oh, totally regurgitating everything I ate tonight, right now, as you say that.
It's a lot of fiber.
Some fiber for you, yeah.
My colon won't know what hit it.
So it's not moderately fibered. It's only two row.
Ah, okay, so it's only my... I need a little fiber in my diet, actually. I haven't eaten anything today except for your beer bread. So,
need a little fiber in our...
Yeah, this might be a short segment.
It will make you fart, I have to say.
Okay.
What?
Thank you for this.
You stop eating that bread.
Hey, he's talking to you, Daniela.
I don't fart, but you might.
Yeah, girl, do they?
How many slices of his beer bread have you had, Daniela?
Several. I don't even know what a fart feels like. It would be my first.
Yeah. Whatever. It'll be one stinky German.
Well, I gotta say, I like the bread. I like the consistency of it. It's just a little bit too bitter.
Too bitter.
To my taste, yeah, my personal.
It was a little bitter, but it is beer bread, so.
It's supposed to be bitter.
There's no hops in it, though.
It smells fantastic.
Would you be so kind as to post the recipe of the beer bread on our forum?
I absolutely will.
Cool. I think we have a beer food segment.
Of course, it's called Beer Food Vigorously.
Go to the Beer Food Vigorously segment and post it there, because I think a lot of people have, wondered how they can use their spent grain and yeast scum to make food products for the rest of us.
Just as long as nobody gets mad at me for having my avatar being too big.
you got to be careful about that. They're a finicky bunch of forum users every now and then.
I found that out.
Yeah, don't break the code of the forum. They might. At least all they do, they sort of insult you and yell at you and then thank you and be nice to you afterward. It's a very strange bunch.
They were all very nice after I brought the thing down, after I raised it much bigger. I think it was like 2,000 pixels for a little while there.
Yeah, that's way too big. You're lucky I didn't yell at you for that.
No, if you would have had titties on that beer, it would have been on that picture. It would have been fine.
Yeah, it's true. That's the problem. Is that it was a picture of you. If there were breasts in your avatar, nobody would have complained.
Well, I'll remember that next time.
Thanks for the bread.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much. And we got your beer too. We're going to be drinking that. So, thank you very much for the care package.
Yeah, that's an early one. So, you know, don't be afraid to rip me a new sphincter on that one, because the criticism will be helpful.
Hey, that's always what we like to do here, is get constructive criticism, and usually I'm the butt of that joke. So I'm glad to be with you.
You guys have helped me out a lot. I'm getting better, so.
Cool. Hey, so am I, Hobgoblin. So join the Getting Better Club.
Thank you.
All right, brother. Thanks very much.
Hey.
Go ahead.
How about a second phone line so I can just stay on hold and listen to the show at work?
Oh, you can't get it online, huh?
Not at work.
Yeah. We'll work on that.
It's been great being on hold because I've been able to listen to the show. So.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'll make this promise to you. As soon as we can pay our first rent, we'll add a second phone line.
Then
you can tie it up.
And good work on the donations. My dad died from leukemia, so I was really glad to hear you guys doing something like that.
Very good. It's a worthwhile cause, and everybody needs a little help every now and then, you know? So.
That's right.
Thanks, Hobgoblin.
Take it easy.
Cheers.
Bye.
A good guy sending us good things, beer and bread, to nourish the brewcasters, and that's pretty cool.
What else do you need?
Yeah, not much else. All right. Are you ready to do our contest before we get to Cold
ready.
Hot Crash? Okay. I'm going to play the sound for you, and here's what we're going to do. We do have to alter the first caller to get the sound right, because we're not going to accept entries until caller number 5.
Okay.
And that's to compensate for everybody's delay, because some people are going to hear the sound within 5 seconds, and others it's going to take 40 seconds to get to them. It's the nature of the internet. So we're going to try to buffer that we'll start accepting entries at caller number 5, and then the first person to give the correct answer to this sound will win. Now, studio members, if you get the sound right off the bat, you need to keep it to yourself. All right? I know everybody gets excited. Like Daniela wants to blurt out who it is.
Yeah, mute my mic.
I will give you this clue. The sound is of an animal. It's an animal sound. So you tell us the animal that's making this sound. I just like the sound, whatever it is. It definitely. I don't know what the animal's doing during the sound. I just know it's an animal making.
Sounds like a porn I saw once.
It's making this sound. Tell us the animal. Caller number five.
It's a frog fart.
888-401-BEER is the number. I probably should have announced that first. But you all know the number. 888-401-BEER. Starting with caller number five, we will accept entries to what this sound is. I could do a whole show with just that sound.
Yeah. We had so much fun last night in the studio.
Yeah.
It sounds like JP's bare butt sliding down a slide.
Oh, that's, is that what it sounds like?
Well, I'm surprised you remember that because you took that slide out years ago.
Yeah. It is actually an animal making that sound, and we're going to start accepting answers at caller number five, which I do believe is our next phone call.
Next caller.
Caller, you are caller number five. Do you have an answer to the sound?
Gars, it's a sheep.
I do like your enthusiasm, but it's actually not a sheep. Thank you for playing. The phone lines are open. 888-401-BEER. Please tell us what animal is making this sound. Tell you, I wish it was my pet that was making that
Me
sound.
Me too.
Caller, you're on the air. Do you know the animal that's making that sound?
Our next phone. That animal is Adam Schumann.
the bass player of Cold Hot Crash. You're close.
It's a turkey.
It's not a turkey. I'm sorry. Thank you for playing. The phone lines are open. 888-401-BEER. What animal is making this
sound? Could be Adam Schumann with a turkey.
That's true.
Now, this caller must know you personally, Adam.
No,
like,
you make
closely. Intimately.
It is a really weird sound, I'll tell you that. Caller, you're on the air. What animal is making that sound?
A wild, drunken turkey.
Also a good guess, but it is not a turkey of any kind. Thank you for the call. The phone lines are open. 888-401-BEER. Here's the animal you're trying to guess.
Prince Charles laughing.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Caller, tell us the animal.
Is it a llama?
It is not a llama. Another excellent guess. 888-401-BEER. Keep trying. Llama's a good guess.
How would you know what a llama sounds like?
I don't know. You have to have been around llamas, I guess. Caller, what animal's making that sound?
Well, it sounds like a camel to me.
Yeah, it's not a camel, actually, but
a
good guess. 888-401-BEER. Keep trying. It's a tough one. I know. I was going to play it again.
Play it.
I mean, it really should be a camel. Like something.
I want that to be my ringtone.
You can have it.
My phone? Yeah, it is.
Caller, what animal do you think is making that sound?
Oh, a llama?
It's not a llama. I'm sorry.
Nope. Okay.
All right. A good guess.
And milk.
I'll tell you what. We do have some backup sounds here because we were afraid that this one might be too difficult. We wanted to make it that way, to have a little fun with it. Caller, what sound do you think that animal's or what? You know what I'm saying.
It sounds to me like a goat.
Like a goat?
It's
a
not.
Goat.
It's not a goat. I'm sorry. Yeah. Doc would have been able to contain himself if it was
exactly.
A goat. He would have said it right off the bat. The lines are open. We're running the gamut here. This doesn't get old to me.
No.
I could play this game till tomorrow. All right, caller. What animal do you think's making that sound?
It is an ostrich.
It's not an ostrich. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Damn it.
That's so much disappointment.
I know, everyone.
This man's voice.
What was the clue?
Just that it's an animal. I didn't give any other clues.
Well, you got to give another clue now.
Hey, caller, go ahead. What animal you think's making that sound?
Is there any possible way it's a penguin?
It's not a penguin. I wish that's the sound penguins made. That'd be a very odd animal.
It'd be a lot cooler.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Sounds like a blumpkin.
All right. I don't want to give a hint on this one, because then I feel like we're cheating, you know.
Okay. And, well, then you play another.
I'll have to do another sound if they don't get this soon. All right, caller. Getting down to it. What animal you think's making that sound?
How about a toucan?
It is not a toucan. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
What is a toucan?
It's a bird.
Oh.
It's not a bird of any kind. I'll tell you guys that. It's not a bird, and it's not a horse-like animal either.
It's fluffy, too.
And it's fluffy. All right. This is impossible, I guess. It's hard. You never know, like, whether they're too easy or too impossible.
It's true.
I figured someone who watches National Geographic regularly, you know, might be able to get it.
No.
All right, caller, what do you think?
I'm thinking goose.
All right, that's the dumbest guess we've gotten. I just got to say right now.
I'm going away now.
Thanks for the call.
That sounds like Sully.
That did sound like Sully, too. I'm thinking goat.
Yeah.
Oh, I racked my big red head about that one, too.
It's not a bird of any kind. Caller, what animal do you think's making that sound?
How about a zebra?
It's not a zebra. No, sir. It's not a horse-like animal. It doesn't...
You can't give clues.
I already did this. I said it's not a bird.
Is it a biped? Is it a quadruped?
I don't know.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
I don't know. Walk on two legs or four legs.
What do you think, caller?
Is it a donkey?
It's not a donkey.
Okay.
Thank Apparently, you. Even your clues go unheard, much like the rest of your shtick.
Dude,
it's just like,
I don't know why I even,
eight people have said sheep.
Why do I speak? What am I here for? Let's go to Cold Hot Crash. We'll play it once more. And
if you have another sound, do we in the studio get a chance to guess that?
All right, caller, you're going to be the last caller of tonight. What do you think it is?
A sea lion.
No, it's not a sea lion, but a good guess. All right.
I keep taking the calls, and you have the guys play.
Well, I was going to play another animal.
Oh.
No one's going to get it. If you haven't gotten it by now, it's...
I have somebody in the chat saying, I know, and he's trying to get through.
Okay. All right, I'll keep it open. We'll hang in there. Let's take one more here, and more hang in there. Caller, what do you think it is?
I think it's a boob on a crapper.
I tell you what, I wish I could give you the win for that, because I would if I could. But rules are rules. It's actually not Bob on the crapper. Good guess, my friend.
No, thanks.
All right, Daniela will keep taking answers then, and we'll go over to Cold Hot Crash. You guys just played a big concert here in San Francisco. It's a radio station called Live 105 over here. It's actually my radio station's sister station. They do all the alternative rock on there, and they had a big concert that you guys got to open for, which is a big deal for a local band like you guys, huh?
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
Just trying to get the mic closer.
Yeah, fair enough. But you guys,
yeah!
You open for some big names, right? The Killers was on the bill.
Rocketeers, The Shins, Modest Mouse.
That's fantastic. And you guys were the very first act to play of the night.
That's right. We got a little bit shafted, but
that kind
of
sucks.
We tried to change with The Killers, but they weren't having it for some reason.
We tried to Rochambeau.
They wouldn't go for it.
No.
I don't see why not.
They're not very forgiving.
I thought it was fair.
Yeah. Hey, Rochambeau is as fair as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's a good opportunity for you guys, though, and things seem to be going well. I'll tell you, we've been playing your music on the network here for a couple months now, and every time we play it, even though I always play, you know, the same ones, every time I get emails about, hey, who's that, and can you play more of it, and make sure you do more Cold Hot Crash.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
That's
so
awesome.
A lot of people were real stoked to have you guys in here, so thank you for hanging out and doing the show with us.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Now, you got an album coming out soon. People have asked me about that, too, because they want to buy it. But is it's not available just yet?
Not quite yet. It's in the works. Well, we recorded already, but we're still trying to work out on how it's going to be released and
okay.
with who. But we're hoping for early next year.
Okay.
What you should tell them to do
yes.
is to just march down to Warner Brothers
yeah.
and ask them when they're going to put it out.
I'm sure they're all going to do
ask
that.
Ask them for the release date.
Yeah. Mick, you have a sort of an angry troll look when you do that. When you sort of put the head down and the, yeah. You look very, like I would go to Warner Brothers for you if you looked at me like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's that record coming up?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hook us up.
Yeah. All right. So definitely looking for a label though to get the album out.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's the best way to make sure enough people can hear it and get to it. You know, self-distribution goes far, but, Maybe not far enough.
It goes from your van to the venue.
Yeah, that's how far it goes. How much gas is in the van.
Yeah.
All right. In the meantime, where can we get the... I know you guys got some songs for download, right?
Yeah, you can download them on MySpace.com. MySpace.com/cold.crash.
Okay.
Or our website, cold.crash.com.
Okay.
Or if you go to our shows, we give away like 3 song samplers.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
December 22nd, if you're in the Bay Area, you guys are playing a great club, actually, the Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco.
That's right.
Yeah. So what time is that show at, you guys know?
It probably starts at 10.
Yeah.
And okay. It's with the Herms and Faces of New York?
Facing New York, sorry.
Okay. Fantastic. And where are you guys in the rotation on that one?
We're playing second.
So you're not the the low lives.
Nope. We built our way up a little bit. One band higher than what we're used to. So.
That's good. And do they give you free beer when you play these gigs? Or you
they do.
We do get free beer. That's right. Yeah.
That's important.
I don't know if it's craft beer, yeah. But they definitely have free packs.
They're like, yeah, we'll give you the free free crap.
The Natty Ice.
Natty Ice.
The Natty Light. The Schumann Love.
Tell you, when you're poor, it works. All right, we're still working on... no one's getting it, right, Daniela?
How?
No, hang on, let me turn you on there.
How many fluffy animals are out there? Because I've just received 2,000 calls.
Okay. Here, I want these guys to do... All right, we'll take one more. All right, caller, what animal you think is making the noise?
The mongoose.
It's not a mongoose. It's good. Okay, I'll tell you what. I gotta take the phone off the hook. We're gonna change it up. We're gonna do another one, but I don't want the phone ringing in the background when these guys are gonna play.
Okay,
because they got some good music. You guys want to get ready to play a tune for us?
Yeah,
we're ready.
All right, why don't you guys do that? And here's what I'll do: I'll play the next sound while you guys are getting ready for that, and that way the delay will have kicked in for everybody, and you can make another guess. So here, we're no longer playing the other sound. Does anybody in the studio want to make a guess of what that sound was that we've been playing?
Koala.
You're the closest so far, Doc, with koala.
Panda.
Turtle.
Yes, Doc got it. It's a panda. The panda,
it's
apparently...
It's a laughing panda.
The panda bear sounds like this. I didn't know either, so don't worry, guys. I'm just going to play it multiple times for you.
It's obvious to me that the people who watch National Geographic are not within our demographic.
Yeah, go figure. All right, here is your new sound. The phone line will remain busy as these guys play, and then I'll hang up when they're done, and that gives everybody ample time to hear our new sound. And this is your new... It's still an animal. Here is your animal sound to register to win a Conoco from Beer, Beer & More Beer and HGA Industries. Okay.
That so sounds like you.
Yeah, but it's an animal. And that's your new animal sound. If you've guessed it, then 888-401-BEER, and we'll take the first caller to get it right. In the meantime, Cold Hot Crash is going to play a tune for us. What are you going to play, Mick?
We're going to go for Dividing Up Circles again.
Awesome. Let's do it.
It works.
The floor is yours. Cold Hot Crash on the Brewing Network.
When dividing up circles, first you straighten the curves, now they're running in parallel, but it won't be the first time. If you hold on a while, there's another one coming, solely on weekend, for the sake of us all. Company proud. Cold Hot Crash makes you turn and look over your shoulder. Chasing the way it goes, you know, somewhere it goes. Chasing the way it goes, you know, somewhere it goes. I don't care if it's broken, we could all use a fix. Just beware of the motions. Are they stolen or quick? Now seems so long.
strong to the top, but it's fast when you fall in, only to find it nothing like the brochure. And the price is outrageous, and the service is not what you paid for. Chasing the way it goes, you know somewhere it goes. Chasing the way it goes, you know somewhere it goes. Chasing the way it goes, you know somewhere it goes.
Somewhere it goes.
Somewhere it goes.
Somewhere it goes.
Sounds great. Mick, you got that grungy rock and roll voice going, like as opposed to like Barbra Streisand or something.
Or Angry Troll.
Or the angry, actually, you have an angry troll voice going. I like right. that. That's very rock and roll.
Yeah, you try being short your whole life. Munchkin your whole life.
Then yeah. see what happens.
Troll. You're pissed. Can't buy clothes that fit. Can't get into the rides even when you're over 21.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's sad.
Yeah. Even though I sound like I've been smoking since I was 13 and I'm 40.
Everybody in the band is taller than you, even though you're the one in the center of the stage.
Yeah.
What a mess. They're going to have to do some camera tricks on the posters that come out to make you look,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, caller, you have a guess on that second animal that we played?
Yeah, it's either Doc being constipated or it's a water buffalo.
It's not.
It's not Doc?
It's not Doc, and it's not a water buffalo. Unless, of course, a water buffalo is another name for what it actually is. I don't know. We'll find out. I'll tell you what. If after we get the answer that I'm looking for, we find out that the water buffalo is also an answer, we're going to give it to that guy. Because, I don't know. Some animals have different names sometimes, you know? Like take Doc, for example. Sometimes he's Scott. And
well, why don't you just tell us what it is and we'll let you know?
Because then the competition doesn't go on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right. Caller, what do you think that animal is?
I think it's a water buffalo.
It's another one with the water
Maybe
buffalo.
Maybe it is a water buffalo.
Let me tell you what.
Yeah, I'm a lag here, I guess. Was that the second water buffalo?
Hang in there. Danielle, do a Google a water buffalo and see if it's the same thing that we're looking for. I hate that. Why can't everything just have one name? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's so cute.
You like the water buffalo?
Yeah.
Is it what it is? I've typed it to you over there. Let me see it. No, it's not a water buffalo.
That's what I said.
Yeah, a good guess, but it's not a water buffalo. 888-401-BEER. Here is your sound once again. Yeah, it's similar to a water buffalo, but it's not actually a water buffalo. Let's try. Caller, what do you think it is?
I'm going to say a caribou.
It's not a caribou. You're all in the ballpark. 888-401-BEER. It's not a caribou or a water buffalo. But it does sound like this. All right, caller, what do you think?
Oh, my God.
Is it a yak?
It's not a yak. You're all right. Oh, man, you guys are close. It's not a yak.
Somebody's going to guess it. I know it.
Though a yak has a couple of names too, doesn't it? All right, there. Is a yak? It's the same thing. All right, caller, what do you think?
Bison.
It's not a bison. It's right there, guys. You're all close. Why can't there just, seriously, can't there just be one? We should have gone with the, we're looking for the genus name of the animal.
I think it's Push and Sven recording our next promo spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could
the outtakes.
Be I thought this would be like the easiest contest that we've done. I guess not. Caller, what do you think that noise is?
Hey, that'd be a moose, eh?
That's a moose, my friend.
Yeah.
That's right. Leave it to the Canadians to know what the moose is.
Hey, moose drool, right on.
Absolutely. It is a moose, and lest you think it's not a beer-related contest, shame on you, because moose drool is a fantastic ale out of, I don't even know where. I forget where they're at. Montana, that's right. Montana. All right, sir, you are now registered to win a Conical courtesy of Beer, Beer, and More Beer and HCA Industries in the Brewing Network's Conical Christmas. Congrats, my friend.
Thank you.
Hang on. Just send
an email.
Send an email to Daniela at thebrewingnetwork.com.
Alrighty, I'll do that right now.
All right, do that, and we'll get you all registered. If you have troubles, you can send it to Justin at thebrewingnetwork.com, too. So just make sure we get your information. And you, sir, are now registered.
Just don't let Justin send me a flick of his titties.
What?
I just heard titties and Justin.
Yeah, and flicking.
Well, titties and beer, eh?
All right, hey. Brother. Send an email, and you're now registered. So congratulations to you for guessing this. I don't know if that's a good quality, you know that, or not.
That's a good animal.
It's not as good as this one. That's our favorite animal, Doc.
Oh, yeah.
All right, how about another one out of you guys, since, you know, you're here and you got guitars in your hand, and we like the rock and roll anyway. So Cold Hot Crash is joining us in the studio, and we're hoping to rip these recordings and sell them for, you know, a lot of cash when you guys make it big.
50 cents, nonetheless.
Yeah, or at least 50 cents. And speaking of 50 cents, please help Linda Stark and donate to her cause. She really needs help right now. And you can hit the donate button on thebrewingnetwork.com. And we're going to send every bit of cash over to Linda so that she can get a little help in her battle with cancer. So looking for your help, hit the donate button, and it's going to register you also to win a Conical. All right, fellas, what do you think?
Hey, real quick, I got something.
Yeah.
So what's the mark, JP? 1700, you're doing a mohawk?
Yeah, for 17, if we reach 1700, JP's going to do a pink mohawk. I've already committed to a pink beard and pink man hair.
I'll do a pink section.
You'll do a pink section of your head?
You can see that bottom of the hill if we reach, what do you think?
Do you want to do it for, have we reached JP's mark yet?
We have not.
So shall we just go with more incentive to reach JP's mark? Will
yeah.
you do it for the 1700
yeah.
mark? All right, so another incentive to get us on the $1,700 mark from you listeners. Mick from Cold Hot Crash, they're playing it. It's a big show that
yeah.
they're playing at the bottom
banner.
Of the hill, by the way.
How about pink sideburns?
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's got big sideburns.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Good one. Oh, where's the commitment?
See what you got yourself into.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
he gives an inch, we take a mile. That's
well,
the way
you dye your
work
hair, you will
here.
Look like a troll, dude. Seriously.
No kidding.
That's pretty bad.
So,
all right. If you break $2,000, I'll do pink sideburns.
Wow.
All right.
Great.
So, $1,700 is a pink spot in the head, and $2,000 is pink sideburns. All right, $2,000, and it really is for a good. We're having fun here. It's for a good cause.
It's a
Linda,
great cause.
She really needs the help, and I can't think of a better reason to donate money than to, you know, save a person's life.
Right.
So it's really a good way to do these things, and we're all gonna, you know, look silly because of it. And I like that.
Right. No, it doesn't mean that we have to reach it tonight. Right. The podcast only goes out tomorrow.
That's true. The
and then that's our thousands of listeners that are actually only gonna tune in tomorrow.
Guess what, Mick? You're gonna have pink sideburns.
You will.
Well then, shit. If you make $5,000, I'll dye my hair. All of it.
$5,000, you do the whole thing pink.
You
there
see
you
a
go.
Troll on December 22nd at the bottom of the hill. Then.
The next there'll be a whole line of little figurines.
We'll post pictures of the whole thing.
I appreciate
that. Yeah,
that
is cool, Mick.
Rocker trolls.
All right, guys. What are you going to play for us next?
It's called When You're Gone.
Cool.
It's the last track on our record.
Let's do it.
Sold your soul because you can't afford it. Left your home. California, on your own, trying to market your
Cold Hot Crash off of their album soon to be released. That's great, man. That's a really good song. You guys sound good.
Thank you.
I like it. What do you think, Doc? It's not so bad, huh? Grab a mic there.
Oh, it's always nice to have a little live music.
Live music. I can hear the critics now. I thought this was a beer show. I'll tell you what.
Just name themselves Cold Hot Break.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah. For the record, there's beer references in that song.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fair enough. If homemade music and guys trying to do their own thing and make it their own way in a band doesn't fit with homebrewing, I don't know what does. So I'm going to give a big F you to those of you critics who are complaining about the beer show right now. A little entertainment goes a long way.
They like to drink homebrew.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Let me just tell you, we only get fantastic feedback here in the chat room.
Cool.
Everybody's very happy and very quiet when the guys are playing, which usually is a very good sign. They're paying attention.
It's like when you put good food on the table.
Yeah.
Everybody shuts up to
eat.
Exactly. Unless it's bad food, and then everyone keeps talking because they don't want to eat.
That's why I feed you constantly.
Yeah. Sorry, shut up. Start doing it on the show more often, I think. So what should happen? How are we doing on getting that drawing ready?
Well, we're working on it. You want to do the other drawing first, maybe?
Yeah, we can do the other drawing. So podcasters, I know that you folks have been waiting anxiously throughout the archive that you're listening to. Last week's, the way we were going to get you to qualify is all you had to do was submit your name to conical@thebrewingnetwork.com. Don't bother doing it now because it's over. You can't do it. But you all submitted a name, and those of you who did got put into a bucket. Here, this is the bucket. I'm shaking it now.
It's a big bucket.
A lot of names. We spent a lot of time writing names and putting them in buckets.
It's like that Mambo thing of popcorn you get at the movies.
Yeah. And by we, I mean Daniela.
Thank you.
So here we have everybody's name from you podcasters who submitted. It was the easiest way to enter by far, and we're going to pick just one of you, of all these names. How many names would you say there are here? A couple of hundred?
A few hundred.
A few hundred names here. So
I wrote my little German fingers bloody.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So your odds are like good, right?
That's good math, Justin.
Thank you. Your odds are somewhere around
better than in a lottery.
Like 100 to 1.
Yeah.
Those are good odds.
Yeah.
It's not bad. And it's going to register you to win a conical. I think we'll let the good doctor go ahead and pick. So however you want to do it, you can dig around, you can take from the bottom, take from the top, just grab yourself one piece of paper there, Doc.
Hey, you got things in there that's not paper.
Yeah, that's...
Those are your fingers, Doc.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. Okay. Now Doc is gonna he's now opening the paper to reveal our podcast winner. And podcaster, whoever this is, I recommend that you send Daniela an email with your name as well. You can't read Daniela's writing, can you?
No.
Barry Weig. Barry Weig, you've just become registered to win a conical courtesy of Beer, Beer, and More Beer and HCA Industries.
Yay, Barry.
In the Brewing Network's Conical Christmas. Barry Weig, W-E-E-G. When you listen to this, you're going to go ahead and you're going to need to send Daniela an email, daniela@thebrewingnetwork.com. If you entered your name, you, sir, are today's podcast registrant. And the last... podcast register. No, we got one more. We got to do it again today, don't we? Yeah, we got one more podcast registrant. Yeah, we got to do that competition, which I have to outline for you as well. How close are you to being able to do that drawing over there, Daniela?
3 minutes.
Three minutes away.
I'm one song close.
You guys want to rock another song for us? What do you think?
Sure.
A little more Cold Hot Crash. It'll give us the time to enjoy our beer and put together all the names from those of you who've been kind enough to donate to Linda Stark today. And we really appreciate that. And, of course, so will she. We'll be doing this donation again next week, so please stay tuned, where we'll also be giving away our conicals and our whole conical giveaway, plus the year of the Brewing Network. I think that's what this year was, JP. It was the year of the Brewing Network. Glad you agree.
I don't.
Nothing else happened in the world that was as important as the Brewing Network, so we dub it the year of the Brewing Network. All right, fellas, what are you going to play for us now?
It's called Like Me Too.
All right, let's do it.
Back.
see yourself smile, traded in. Started to control myself now. I'm giving you the space you've earned. Well, feeling isn't being fair. So honestly, it's right in front of me, and I'm just about insane. So turn your head around, 'cause I'm everything that you need. It's right in front of me, and I'm just about insane. Turn your head around, stop looking everywhere, 'cause I like you. You don't like me too. Self-defense. You promised you would never forget. I wish you could be listening. It's right in front of me, and I'm just part of the scene.
I can't even pick my favorite. It's awesome.
And you guys thought you couldn't do a bunch of acoustic, but it sounds great.
Well, we're ad-libbing here as we go along.
It's really, I think it's just as good acoustic as when you plug it all in. You know, it's different, obviously. It's a different experience.
Intimate.
But it sounds great.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know if you're ready for like MTV Unplugged or anything, but this is close to that.
It's,
yeah.
Thank you, JP.
Network Unplugged.
During Network Unplugged. It's a whole new series we're starting.
Do they even do music on that channel?
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. So for that matter, maybe Unplugged. You are ready.
God, that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Did we say when and where we can buy the CD?
They don't know when yet, is what we said. So, but you can go get downloads on their MySpace. So myspace.com/coldhotcrash, and you can download a couple of these songs that they play. At least the first one I know is there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you can get that one, and the rest of these are bonuses. Uh-huh. Maybe we'll replay them on the BNs. So you have to tune into us to get them.
When are you guys playing live next time?
December 22nd at the Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco.
There you go.
Awesome.
So you gotta be in the Bay Area.
I won't be here.
No, but I will. So I'll be rocking with you guys. Don't worry.
Drinking nothing but fine crafted beers.
That's right. On Schumann.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, how are we doing? Can we do our drawing for...
We totally can.
All right, now this drawing is a very special one, not just because it gets you registered for the Conical, but it's because of all of you have been generous enough to donate tonight. And, you know, we can't thank you enough. It's a good showing, folks. You really made a good showing, and, tell you what, you practiced what y'all preach about the community. So,
absolutely. I said, I told the guys in the chat room tonight, like, what they showed tonight with how much money they donated, and we're over $1,400 now.
Wow.
And that's not including the $500 from Brian from HC Industries.
That's fantastic.
So we almost raised $2,000 tonight. I want to say that this made me, encouraged me again in why I do this for free every Sunday and work on the Brewing Network every day of the week in the evening for free.
Sure.
Because the community is fantastic. And if help is needed, they're right there, and that's great.
Absolutely.
And I definitely almost have pink sideburns at this point.
Yeah, it's
you failed to mention the 500.
Yeah, sorry about that. Other whole
1400 plus the 500. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, sorry about that whole omitting information thing. Yeah, okay. Hey, you're gonna look good on that show, though.
Can't wait.
Just when you were about to get signed, the only complaint they're gonna have is how you look.
He had brown hair with pink sideburns. Hell
yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Shame on him.
You look like a bigger boner than he already does.
You guys will be back to first band in no time.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so Danielle is getting the drawing all set. Why don't we have Mick from the band go ahead and pick who the lucky registrant is, since he's been nice enough to offer up his sideburns for our donation. She's getting it ready. She's got a whole... You dropped one. Make sure you got all of them there.
There's one right there.
All right, we want everybody to have a chance. And like I said, this is a pretty special drawing. You guys are very cool to have done this. And hopefully we can reward you with your chance to win a conical. So one of you at least will be in there. And go ahead, just grab any one of them. And let's see who we got. You want to read it?
Sure.
Go ahead.
It says Choice Buildings.
Choice Buildings.
It's a company name, yeah.
Okay, some of you donated from your company accounts, and that's fine too. Choice Buildings, you've now become registered to win a conical courtesy of Beer, Beer, and More Beer and HCA Industries. And our first ever conical Christmas. That's fantastic. All right. So we have our two registrants for today, and that will be it for live listeners. There will be no more registrants. You will have to tune in live next week to win. I know what you're saying. Why do I have to listen live? Because I said so. That's it. It's the way things work, all right? That's how we do promotions around here. You got to tune in to win. So if you're one of our registrants, and we'll be shooting you an email this week just to remind you, because we're nice like that, you're going to have to tune in next Sunday, the 17th, where we'll be doing our end-of-the-year show, and you'll be competing to win one of these conicals. Now, for you podcasters, we still have one more podcaster to register, and here's what you have to do. You need to go to the Brewing Network forum, and you need to post in a thread that we're going to create for you. And the thread is going to be called Podcast Registrants. It's very simple. If you're a podcast registrant, we're going to create a topic for you. Go to the Brewing Network forum. It's thebrewingnetwork.com/forum. Or you can just go to the homepage and click on the forum button. And we're going to put up a post that says Podcast Registrants. Specifically, if you've never used our forum before, you're going to need to go in there and register as a new user. And I guarantee it'll be painless. It's a great resource for beer information. A lot of cool guys just like you who like to talk about beer. So you need to go in there and just post something. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you say hello or I have a big nose or whatever it is that you want to say. Just say something and we'll see your name there, and what we're going to do is put all of those names in a hat and pick one of you. So we're trying to make these as random as possible to eliminate the first come first serve stuff that we have with the trivia, and give everybody a chance to do it. So did I get all that right, Daniela? Is that how we're doing it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to create that thread for you tonight. If you're a podcaster, just go in there. Now, a little brewer's code. If you are tuned in live tonight, please don't post in the podcaster registrant thread. All right? You're not allowed to do it. You had your chance tonight, and we really, our podcasters are just as big a part of this program as our live listeners. So let them have a chance to register. So Brewer's Code, folks, do not cheat. You're not allowed to post in the podcast registrant thread if you were a live listener tonight. Okay? And that's just the way it's going to work. So for you podcasters, you have until Wednesday. All right, that's it. Wednesday at midnight Pacific time, we shut down the entries, and we're going to take all those names, put them in a hat. We'll draw somebody. We'll let you know who wins, and you too have to tune in next week. All right. So let me rephrase that. Podcasters, every one of you that's registered throughout the entire contest, you must tune in live for next Sunday's show in order for your chance to win a conical. If any of you don't show up, we're going to keep drawing names from the hat that we had today from last week's podcast registration. All right? So don't complain. Tune in. You're getting a conical out of the thing. So that's the way it's going to work. All right? I'll post official rules on the forum so that if you have any questions, you can find it all there. Does that cover everything, Daniela?
Show names.
Oh, man, there's so many things to cover.
I know.
We're going to post... Oh, man. Confusing myself. I can just imagine what the listeners are thinking.
I know
right
what we're going to do with the show name.
Go ahead, please.
So we have received a ton of different suggestions for the show names. What we're going to do is we're going to build a top 10 list out of those, correct?
Yes, yes.
And those top 10...
Yes.
Voted by you and yes. Doc and myself... Shut it.
Sorry.
...are going to be posted on the forum.
Yes.
Up for a vote.
Yes.
From you.
And the top 5...
will be registered.
Yeah.
For the conical Christmas. That's Is that it. It?
That's it. That was pretty easy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. That's it. We're still going to have to post these rules in the forum. I can hear the questions already. Mostly because I have most of them. But I tend to align myself with our slow listeners who have a lot of questions. So... We'll have to do some forum posts. So, all right, everybody's going to be registered. There's going to be a total of 20 people, and 20 people will be competing for 2 conicals. That, again, is that's a chance of, like, pretty good.
That is actually a pretty good chance.
Now I'm right this time, yeah. Right? What's that like? It's like 1 in 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. I got a C in geometry.
I think your brain officially shut down for tonight, so why don't we just end this show?
All right, I usually have a closing theme song, but I'd rather you guys play something. Have you got one more in you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Because here's what I'll do. I'll let you guys play, and then we'll just shut it down, and we'll play whatever we do after that.
Sounds good.
We'll all have a beer and
we'll do Somebody Made Up
and enjoy it. So, one last song from Cold Hot Crash coming up here, and I do want to thank the band for coming in, and they hung out for most of that Lambic discussion we had, too. So, hey, way to stick it out, fellas, and hang in there for the performance. Go to coldhotcrash.com, or if you want to download their songs, go to myspace.com/coldhotcrash. Of course, we want to thank our special guest today, Chris Colby of Brew Your Own Magazine. You can go to byo.com to check out that whole thing, and of course, you can subscribe via our homepage. Just click one of those BYO banners, and I think you get a discount, and we also, he helps us for helping them. So, do that. Please support anybody in the beer industry, and thank you so much, every single one of you, for helping in our donation drive for Linda Stark. We're going to do another one next Sunday, so she really needs a lot of help.
And throughout the week, podcasters, feel free to donate.
Just click that donate button right on the Brewing Network. Every penny that you donate is going to go right to Linda Stark. We're going to send her, you know, a check for that. And tell you what, I'll photocopy the check and post it up on the forum so that you guys can all see how much you guys actually helped. What are we at right now?
We should get one of those big, giant, goofy checks.
Like a big, silly
like
8 check.
8 feet long. Yeah. And then give
just
it to
a hold.
Say, here, cash this.
Yeah. And what were we at, Daniela, at last count?
I think including HCA Industries, we were at 1,950-something or 30-something.
That's really great, guys. Man, you've done a good job. So keep it up, please. She needs help. And a big hand to you guys.
We're at Pink Sideburns is what we're at.
That's right. That's exactly what we're at. Don't worry, I got pink pubes out of it. So,
and pink eyebrows and a pink beard.
Yeah, I got a lot of pink going on me. I'll be at that show.
You know what? That'll be good. That'll be good because we need support. Yeah.
And JP here is going to have a pink mohawk and he might join you for the show, too.
There we go.
Dude, we'll pay for you to get in. Don't leave us hanging.
Cold Hot Crash, December 22nd at the bottom of the hill right here in San Francisco. Take us away, guys, and thanks for coming out.
Thank you, guys.
And now all of it has gone away, gone away. Slow down and ashamed, still the same, still the same. So break out the razor blades, it's time to kill the competition. I'm not the man you made, I am just your troubled servant. They keep counting me to find the fire and put it out. They keep counting me to drive the ambulance around. They keep calling me to change your mind from jumping out. They keep counting me, yeah.
explain. Anyways, I'm not proud of the face that it makes, but it makes. So break out the new brigade. Something tells me we'll be working. I'm not at all afraid. Giving everything for nothing. They keep calling me to find the fire and put it out. They keep calling me to drive the ambulance around. They keep calling me to change my mind from jumping out. They keep calling me. They keep calling me. They keep calling me. And they're calling, they're calling, and they're calling. So take for granted all that I've done, just expected to be there now, and take for granted all that I've done, just expected to be there now, and take for granted all that I've done, just expected to now.
Hey, Ale is a friend of mine, and I sure like good barley wine. Chocolate porter, cherry stout, don't you know what I am talking about? Don't you give me that American crude, boys, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love it? Homebrew, can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind, I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I have me, well, I have the one right now. Down, double and triple on my best friend. I think I'll have them all over again. But don't you give me that American crew, boys, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love that homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all of the time. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'll have it one right now. A box will do me when the skies are gray. I'll take a Belgian brew anytime, and the women things and lambic fine. But don't you give me that American crude, boys, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love a better homebrew? Can't